The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
We're going to skate to one song only. Lady Hump by the Black Eyed Peas. What you going to do with all that junk inside my trunk? I'm going to get you drunk off my lady hump, my lovely lady hump.
I don't even know what that means.
No one knows what it means, but it's provocative.
PFW in Progress with Red Kirsch.
It's over. All the endorsements, everything gone. Oh my God, I can't get a real job, it'll kill me.
Paul Perillo.
Was that your routine or a performance of Cirque du Soleil? Besides, you're too late. They already handed out the girls' medals this morning.
And Andy. And Andy?
You an official here? Because you have officially given me a boner.
Andy Hart.
Ah! Nutsack! Hey! You gotta be careful, man. Unlike you, I actually use these things.
Hey, look, I didn't mean to drag your balls into the discussion. That was uncalled for. They're fine. I overreacted.
Eric Scalavino.
So how'd it go with your lady? Carve up any ice? With your wiener?
For now, anyway.
Mind-boggling, isn't it?
Did you just say mind-boggling?
Yeah, mind-boggling. You know, when things are so crazy, it gets your thoughts all trapped like in a bottle.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
From here on out, you guys are a team. Do you understand? You are going to eat together, sleep together. You are going to pee together. You're going to file a joint income tax return. Practice starts now.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It is Tuesday here at Gillette Stadium. The team is out on the field as we speak with OTAs. We're not allowed to watch it today.
Nope.
We will Thursday. And I'm back after a week away in L.A. at NFL digital meetings.
The average weight of this show took a serious hit this
week. Where I learned absolutely nothing.
I know. You're not happy, huh? Never going again.
Never again. But... lots to talk about here in the off season.
I'm excited to have you
and
back.
And we're going to get to it.
I'm excited to trade you
Eric
for Eric.
I didn't get into a single argument last week.
No?
It was very,
that must
very
have been
dumb.
Boring. Eric's still in Budapest.
Is that how he says it, or is there a T? Is it Budapest?
Budapest.
But is there a T on the end? Is there?
Yeah, I believe so.
But there's a sh that kind of overshadows it?
Yes.
Right. So web radio at patriots.com is the email address, 508-298-0398.
He's a
the
douche.
The A-Ticket hotline, 855-PATS-500 is the toll-free number. And this Brady story is persistent. And it was
actually, it went away till you tried to bring it back.
I mean, it was going on all weekend on the radio because when I came back from L.A., that's all anyone was talking about.
Who?
Yeah, the guys. The weekend talk
show.
Guys on the weekend who hadn't talked about it yet.
Not guys who, they were away, but their show handled it last week and would like to move on to new topics.
Well, they were talking about it, and then Brady extended it yesterday by, you know, answering questions about it as well. So... It's a topic.
Did you see the unbelievable stunning quote that came out of that?
What was the stunning quote?
What Brady finds most important?
Team.
Winning.
Yeah, winning.
Can you imagine that an athlete said that?
Yeah, winning.
I can't believe
Scoreboard.
It. Scoreboard. Winning. Counts.
Yeah.
He actually did make me laugh, though. He goes, the reason people pay to watch on TV, and I'm thinking,
yeah,
they don't pay to watch on TV.
Yeah.
That's part of the problem. They're not paying to come to the game as often as they used to.
And I heard that, you know, kind of. Weird phrasing that they pay to watch on TV.
Or maybe he knows something.
Well, I mean,
maybe the 10-year business plan
is
to go.
Technically, we pay for cable.
But maybe he knows. Maybe, you know, because he said he's going to stick close to football, he and Peyton. So maybe he's already in the loop business-wise, and maybe like the 10 or 15-year model is all pay-per-view.
But he does make it. I mean, the point, you understand what he's saying.
I do. I'm not a moron.
The fact that. The fact
can't you let us have fun for 30 seconds?
Jesus!
The fact that this is a results-oriented thing. Football, well, it's live sports. It makes you have to watch.
I do disagree with him a little bit. I don't think it is only scoreboard. I think people like me watch athletics to see marvelous athletic feats.
Yeah.
Bigger, faster, stronger, a hit, a home run, you know, things that I can't. I can play golf, but I can't play golf like Tiger Woods. People still watch all sports on some level for the marvelous talents that are on display, not just the result. Right?
Right.
So I think
it's to watch the best players compete as opposed to just watching people. Because you can watch any kind of game, and as long as they're keeping score, that would fall into what Brady's talking about. But we want to watch Brady play because he's the best.
And he's going to beat the best.
He's going to play against Peyton Manning, who's the best.
It's great athletics versus great athletics. And, yes, the winner is the most important part. But I also want to be – You know, there's, you know, the Randy Moss catch when he goes up over three guys is not the exact same thing as simply a little 5 yard out wide open to James Devlin for a touchdown. There is still some wow individualized talent factor involved.
And Freddie, that was the part that we got to when we had, when you were gone, we did have Sam Monson on, from Pro Football Focus.
When we hashed this out to, you know, its necessary end.
But we did, Andy and I really, we didn't go after him or anything. It was very cordial. We offered the, invitation for him to come on and he did, and he did a good job. But what we, Andy and I really harped on was, where does 12-4 AFC Championship come into play? You know, with how much he's declined. Right. How much, you know.
And not only
does
that.
Does that come into your rankings?
12-4 AFC Championship with Kenbrell Tompkins as his number one receiver in September come into play.
Right.
Like all of that.
So you guys see, have come around.
No, but we're saying.
On the greatness of Brady.
Wait a minute. Okay.
Wait a minute. I never had to come around. All, I've been mocked because
5 years
said,
after Brady has lost it, he's still going to be convinced that Brady's great.
I think Brady's great. I think so he's proven enough different times and enough different ways that he's great.
So don't put him in my category.
And I happen to also think he's great in the regular season and the postseason, and that a lot of his.
Where he's 8-8.
Extra. God forbid he's 8-8 against the greatest competition.
In his last 16 playoff games, he's 500.
God forbid.
Because of him?
Well, I think.
In which is also a little bit telling, by the way, in his last 16 playoff games. A lot of guys would like to go to 16 playoff games.
Right.
And by the way, unless you win the Super Bowl, it's obvious you're going to lose in the postseason, right?
Absolutely.
And when you get a bye, you have less chances to win in the postseason. So if he were a worse quarterback, he'd have a better chance to win on wild card weekend, even though he's had some failure, and go through that, right? True. So all these things you need to look, and this
I believe
is part
it's
500
in wild card weekend is, too, but that's okay.
That's why I went.
And that's part of all the things that statistics can't give you,
right?
You know,
right.
So
as Tom Curran puts it, the analytical
analysis
misses some things.
No, but that's what Andy and I were trying to talk about last week. Was I don't think when you have metrics and stuff like that, I don't think it's there's enough given to what actually happened in the game. You know, how did the game come out? Now. Right. I understand that, you know, like Ben Roethlisberger, the first Super Bowl he won, he played the worst game that any winning Super Bowl quarterback has ever played. But that's not what we're talking about with Tom Brady. Tom Brady is largely responsible for the large majority of Patriots' wins over the last 10 years.
But even
certainly
that,
all of them last year.
Even that I brought up, you know, people point to he's still great when it matters, blah, you know, the Saints game. He tried to lose the Saints game by throwing a pick first. He got the ball back and in the end was able to get, like, even that, which you would give him as one of his quality, you know, made the plays when he needed to, even that you need, if you watch the scope of the game, has some fine.
I think that we look with Tom Brady these days with such high expectations of perfection, it's not even fair. I mean, you look at all the guys who were considered great quarterbacks in history, and they all made a bonehead play once in a while. Nobody.
And they all lose, and they all go on playoff losing streaks,
right, nobody, you know, won all the time. You know, it's just the perfection that we expect out of Brady is just.
And Manning.
I would put on the same thing. Yeah.
When you win 13 games every year and go to the playoffs, you're expected to be perfect. And when you fail, they rip you. But you're also going every year at 13 wins to the playoffs. You know, there's.
Right.
Like Manning, everybody rips him for last year because he fell on his face in the Super Bowl.
But it completely ignores the two previous playoff games that he was lights out.
Right. And it always does. That's been his MO over the years. Remember when he came in here and he didn't punt? But you lose here and that becomes, you can't win in the postseason.
Right.
You fail in the post. Well, was he failing a week ago when he threw for 500 yards and never punted?
Right. It's just that you have to look at the totality and you have
to it's all sports.
Everything in context.
To bring it full circle and, you know, Brady talked about the NBA, you know, LeBron James. You know, he can't win or he cramps up and he can't, you know, that wouldn't happen to this guy. And that when you're at the top, they nitpick you until a lot of times the championship is what kind of quiets the nitpicking.
Right.
Although for Brady, it didn't because it came before the nitpicking. So there's sort of now he's going to win the next one to quiet the nitpicking, the Paul Perillos of the world.
Right.
But you think Brady gets nitpicked?
Oh, yeah, I do. By people like you.
Okay.
By people like Sam Monson or Munson.
I know you guys make fun of me, but I think
Sam
he's
Monson
a better
thing
quarterback
was about,
now than he was in 2003, 2004.
I think that the Sam Monson story was about 2013, and you just unfolded a myriad of reasons why Brady wasn't quite as good last year, mm-hmm. about his receivers and everything. I haven't heard a lot of nitpicking of Brady over the last 10 years.
Oh, I think we hear it on this show. I think we hear it from fans. You know, the inability to win and not as good in the postseason.
Yeah.
And the,
Well, they're not as good in the postseason is fact.
Yeah, because he went from perfection.
Exactly.
Right.
But that's, I mean, you can't argue with that.
I know, but it's like, I mean,
he had an impossible standard to maintain.
Right. There was no chance he was
10-0. There was no way he was going to go 30-0 in the postseason.
There was never any, and yet he's criticized for it. Like, I think 500 in the postseason is probably what you should be.
I think figuring out, you know, pointing out his record in his last 16 games is not critical.
See, I think it's a little critical. I think to say he's 8-8 in his last 16 is nitpicking after he's really 18-8 in his career postseason.
Right.
But you're eliminating the 10-0.
Oh, I don't.
He's just 8-8 in his last six. Well, he was 10-0 before that. It should all count.
As the guy that's considered the quote unquote Brady basher, I don't look at it the way Andy's talking about it. I don't look at him as he's a failure, 8-8. I don't look at it that way. I'm just saying.
You're saying he hasn't been as
good. He hasn't been as good in the playoffs as he was, but I don't look at it as I'm this major critical. And I consider myself more critical of Brady than most.
You know, it's stats wise.
But I don't look at it that way that I think he's a failure because he's 8-8 in his last 16
games. Stats wise, when you. The games that he loses, it's always, you look at his stats, it's like, whoa, he had a bad game. But you have to put it in context. You really do. When you look at specific things, you have to look at what was going on that day that caused those stats.
Right. Like, was he throwing to Matthew Slater and
Brady,
Michael Manawanui?
Was Brady a different player that week than he was the week before when he was having a good game? Or, you know, how many times did he get hit that game? How many times did he get pressured that game? You know,
I think the perfect game for that, Freddie, is the Super Bowl in Arizona.
Sure.
When he got, I thought he played a really, really good, his stats won't say it.
No.
Scored 14 points. I thought he played a really, really good game because of the constant pounding he took.
Right.
He stood in the pocket, and when he had to, he drove the team. I, for a long time, have criticized the defense for that game and still maintain that, unless it's in an argument with Andy about Brady's fall off, and I have to throw that game in there because, you know, that's what we do. But he got killed in that game. But when the game was on the line in the fourth quarter, 5 minutes left, he took him 80 yards. He threw the game, the go-ahead touchdown, which should have been the game-winning touchdown.
The game-winning, damn it.
Right. Should have been. Santé
Saint. You know, so that's why, I mean, even though, like, sometimes you got to win 14-10.
Right.
Unfortunately, they didn't let him win 14-10.
Yeah, but 2007, I would argue the offense is the reason you lost, but not necessarily Brady. Your offense was supposed to be otherworldly. You were supposed to score 25, 30 points.
Yeah. Yeah.
You didn't. That doesn't mean it's just Brady.
But
it can be the band of bearded brothers who pooped themselves.
Right, right.
But that's not Brady. But no one says Logan Mankins is, you know, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
It's Brady.
Right.
Win and lose, it's Brady.
Right.
You're the lightning rod. You're the most important guy in sports,
all that. In fairness, when he goes like 3 weeks without getting sacked, no one says Logan Mankins kept him clean.
Right.
So.
No, but that's also his job. I mean, that's Logan Mankin's job.
Well, think about it. Really, quarterback in the NFL is the only one where you attach win-loss record to how good they're playing. You don't go to a running back and say, oh, the running back is, you know, 4-0 in playoffs.
No.
Well, a quarterback is
almost like a pitcher or a goalie.
Right.
But the credit is attached.
Every year,
the offensive line, like, you know, the 07 Patriots sent Dan Copen, Logan Mankins, and Matt Light. That's the reward of that's the equivalent of saying, right. You know, giving the quarterback credit
right.
for winning.
But you don't attach win-loss records to the other positions like you do quarterback.
No, but you attach Pro Bowls.
But it's the same thing in baseball. The pitcher gets a win or a loss. In hockey, a goalie gets a win or a loss. And in football, you know, why not?
The other thing I want to talk about is, you know, there's been and it's not just now, but there's a lot of really bad coverage of sports out there these days and mistreatment of fans in general with ticket pricing and all that stuff. And, you know,
did you bump your head in LA?
No. But I just think, you know, and there's a lot of bitching and moaning by fans about the media sucks and, you know, prices suck. And about 30 years ago, I had a business plan for a thing.
This is going to be good. I'm loving it.
Before a thing called FAN. It was the Fan Alliance Network. And basically what I was trying to do was, you know, the grand vision was to start the AAA for sports fans, you know, a lobbying group, you know, not a union, but an association so that strength in numbers, so that fans would have representation with ownership of teams and leagues and all that to make things better. You know, they would have a lobbying group, you know, and of course it never got off the ground. It was just on paper.
Not a terrible idea.
But that was 30 years ago before there was social media and the internet and ways to bring things like this together like you never had before. And so what I tweeted out this morning was a proposition to a fan or fans who are ambitious to try to do something like that again. And I think it could happen. I think there's enough fans out there that would sign up for that. And, you know, in addition to being this advocacy group, it could also, you could get maybe discounts at sporting goods stores and things like that. And, you know, there's a lot of other, like being a AAA member gives you now, because there's millions and millions of them. You know, I just think, I think that would have legs these days.
It's good.
And I think that you could also use it to, you know, send letters to the Globe, swamp them when they're being lazy. Or, you know, the other day, you know, it was a topic with Amendola on Adam Jones, who's a friend of the show. But, you know, I looked at that and I read it, and I kind of side with Amendola a little bit there. You know, they knew he was on for that charity. And the topic that Adam Jones was trying to talk about is not something new. I mean, it's something that every time Amendola does an interview, he has to talk about. And, you know,
well, it's the story of his career.
It is. But, you know, isn't there other things to talk about at this point right now? And I thought Amendola,
then his expectations and his failure to live up to them in the help? No, that's the story of Danny Amendola.
But
I would respectfully disagree with
that. Yeah, see, but
I would not have any interest in talking to Danny Amendola unless it's about how much better he's going to be this year than he was last year.
But you can do that without, you know, harping on injuries and that. You can
that's
do it in a way.
Question.
You can do it in a way that, you know, he doesn't have to answer the same question over and over again. You know,
do it again.
He'll come back, I'm sure.
That's not like Belichick. Sure.
That was Adam Jones.
Yeah.
He'll come back, I'm sure.
Right after the hang.
That's it's exactly Bill. Like Belichick.
That's what we were telling you. Yes, yeah. it's a carbon copy.
He didn't, for the record.
But you know, so you can disagree with me. But let's just say that fans, a lot of fans, you know, have a certain opinion. You know, they could have a way to voice that opinion that has some muscle behind it. You know,
now, the only problem I would ask you is,
you're never going to please everybody.
Well, that's what I would say, is fans are very sort of provincial and
some would totally agree with Fred.
But would
some
you get
totally
enough
you?
Unanimity in their desires to really get the power?
Well, I think with leagues, when you're dealing with leagues, you could, you know, when there's league rules or restrictions or things like that.
But I'm just
like
wondering if, you know, Bengals fans and Jaguar fans have the same desires or beliefs on how things should be as,
well, you have
Patriots
chapters.
Fans and Giants.
You have the Cincinnati chapter.
But you, in order to have real power, you need the numbers.
Sure.
And the numbers would become if NFL fans were behind an issue.
Right, if they could.
But
yeah.
If they're fragmented, then you lose some of your power because you're fragmented.
Right.
So I just wonder, other than that, I think it's a really good idea.
You know?
I think it's a real, in this day and age where the fan feels like he's getting effed over.
Right.
And certainly Joe Average fan feels like
and
he's
the
getting
attitude
effed
of
over.
A lot of these teams and leagues is somebody else will.
Exactly.
Yeah,
you know?
I'm wholeheartedly.
You know, you don't like it? Somebody else will fill your seat.
I think that's what
how
this
does Robert Kraft feel about you being a rabble rouser.
I think an organization like the Patriots would have no problem with that because they do it the right way, or at least they make the attempt. They don't always make, you know, get the single or the home run, but they get to bat and they take a swing at it, and sometimes they miss, but they're willing to go on and try to improve. And I think any organization that is trying to do the right thing would welcome something like this.
I think it's phenomenal, especially in this day and age of cities bidding for drafts for Super Bowls, or the, you know, legislature deciding on public funding. I mean, if you give a voice to hundreds of thousands of constituents, that's good.
I mean, for example, you know, we make fun of Roger Goodell because he stands up there and goes, you know, people are telling me that they want games, you know, they want 18 games. Well, if you had this group, they'd say, no, we don't.
Right. We have 8 million members and none of them want 18 games or whatever the number would be.
4 days for the draft.
Right.
You know?
It's coming.
That's the one I really don't get.
Might even be coming to a town near you.
The 18 game example is very easy. Money. You know, more games, more gate, more everything.
Sure.
I don't understand the value of a 4 day multi-city draft.
What's
I don't get it.
What's in it for the NFL?
Seems like more cost than.
By that fourth day, your eyes are glazed over.
By the second day, your eyes are glazed over now.
But
what's
even on the ledger.
Like 4 days.
I always assume the draft.
Unless they won is the lottery I want to do.
But that has nothing to do with multiple cities and multiple days.
You're right. Well, the lottery can be held in a
We city. Talked about this. I always assumed the draft is a made-for-TV event, that the fans in attendance are not what is driving the value of the draft. And the only reason I can see moving it to a different city is to get a different audience in attendance. But I didn't assume that was now I actually figure it's more expense. Everybody's traveling. You're setting up a TV studio essentially for a second.
Right.
Seems like it's costing more money than it's worth.
And really, where is the value?
I don't see it,
yeah.
personally.
Yeah.
But sometimes I have blinders
on. And, you know, Robert Kraft was talking about, you know, the mayor of Boston is talking with the NFL about a venue, and it's like, it's not that complicated. You know?
And I also don't think people are, you know, other than the 32 teams sending their representatives or what, however the you know, the
yeah.
people that are taking part, no one's flying into Boston
right.
to watch the draft.
Really? This is going to bring in tourists?
So no economic yeah. impact
There's
to the city.
There's a reason why the Radio City is filled with Jets fans.
Right.
It's because it's in New York.
Oh, yeah. I think some Patriots fans will go to the draft if it's in Boston.
Oh, sure. Of course.
But they're already in Boston.
Right.
They're already eating. They're already
not
living.
Drumming up tourism. It's
right. not, you're like, not getting think, hotel rooms and meals.
Right.
And,
I think Robert used sizzle yesterday in yeah. his quote. You know, the sizzle factor, the so-called sizzle factor, I think is the way he, and I don't, and I kind of agree with Robert. This seems like it's a Mayor Walsh
well,
thing, and I don't really see it.
Well,
I don't
they
see
do
it drumming
thing
up tourism.
Now. They've started this year with the red carpet and, you know, marching in all the prospects on the red carpet and all that stuff, but
and how does that make money?
You know,
I need a leap
again,
to money.
Right,
I need a leap
right.
to the where does the money come in?
Right.
You know, in our defense, and
you got to buy a red carpet.
Defense, Andy, you and I thought about Twitter like this.
Well, we weren't
140 characters. I don't.
We weren't the only one. The fact that they made a commercial about that, obviously, a lot of people.
There's
felt,
a lot of people,
and who, a lot of people who had the money to invest. A lot of very rich, intelligent people. You know, the Mark Cubans of the world. People turned that down. There's no doubt.
Oh yeah,
people close to home.
Yep.
So
Fan Alliance Network.
It's fine.
Okay.
You were thinking about this in the 80s?
I had a white paper. I had a whole, it was like a 12-page document.
You really
document
are quite the Renaissance idea, man.
But wrote, why do you no longer have any interest in pursuing it?
I'm too busy. And I would be a little bit of a
he can't start
conflict of interest. I agree.
You can't start a new show.
But if it's as good an idea as you think, you remove the conflict of interest by leaving your current position.
I'll quit. Yeah.
You go to
quit.
Fan.
You take
I'm not
Andy
quite
and
ready
I,
to go.
Take Andy and I with you. Base your operations somewhere in the North Shore, preferably, and Andy and I are in.
I'm
all
not
right.
sure I'm in.
Why?
I'm not sure he can support himself on this idea. Never mind me and you.
And you know what's funny, Paul? You might remember this.
I'll blog for you.
At the time I had this written up, this whole business plan, remember ML Carr had just retired.
Michael Leon.
And he had ML Carr Enterprises or something, and he had just come out with this new thing. It was a scam. You could buy this certificate for, like, a family member.
Just insulting everybody
and,
across
oh,
all
it was.
Platforms.
And, you know, give it as a Christmas gift or whatever. And I forget what it was. It was like a fan thing. And I was thinking, oh, okay. This doesn't really compete with me, but maybe I could bring that in as a product.
He was
know?
Looking at competitors, even though he didn't exist. But
I
you
was.
Didn't exist. If you don't exist, you can't have competitors.
That was the
this
time.
Is like my son's talking TV.
Right.
You know, he started. That's not really the same thing.
That was
mine's
the time frame. And for those techies who remember the time frame, I was using a little compact computer, the kind with the keyboard folded up into the box, and the screen was about 5 inches wide. It was a compact computer, C-O-M-P-A-Q, for those
Thanks.
Who remember back then.
Well, that's not that far away, Compaq the company.
No, but that was it was in the 80s that I was doing this.
And then what happened? When did it? Why did it get tabled, shelved, whatever?
I just
Where'd
lost
you go?
Interest, I guess.
You started that what was it, New England Runner?
It's just a fun fact.
What was the magazine?
No, back then I was doing Sports High. Which was a high school sports newspaper that was given away in the New England high school.
There's no hope.
Oh, right.
With Joe.
And then Channel 5 stole it. The High Five.
They did high. They stole okay. it right from under.
No, I know. I've heard the story.
He really is. You need to write your book about him, not me.
Web radio at patriots.com. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline.
Why is Sal Pell carrying a green football?
So, Juve writes in, this is about the Amendola, we'll read this email. I love the show, but.
I love the buts.
I don't blame On the Mendola for hanging up the phone during his interview you guys played last week. You guys might not agree with me, but I believe a lot of our listeners feel the same way I feel. When you ask someone a question, ask it once. That's it. The media, for most of the time, just wants to focus on the negative stuff. You guys are the only media that I enjoy listening to.
Yeah.
Danny Amendola, we fans stand behind you. Enough of the injuries. It is what it is. Fred, glad you're back. Without you, the show just isn't the same. Go Pats. Screw the other 31 teams.
I'll come back, I'm sure.
So, boy, that is uncanny how much that sounds like it. All right. Anything else that we want to put on the table before we get to the phone calls and emails?
Well, I have a little thing.
How about the Rangers just biting it?
Okay, we're going to talk hockey then.
The Kings took their first lead of the series last night, and they're up 3-0. They're 3-0.
Well, the Rangers were done. I mean, they blew their load. They
blew two two-goal leads on the road. That was their shot. Yeah. And then they dominated the game last night for all that was worth. But
well, I heard Quick was great.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was.
32 to 15, they outshot him and lost 3-0.
Keeping with Brady, who's obviously the topic du jour, I thought some of the comments yesterday were very interesting in that, yes, he was asked questions about sort of his age and things, blah, 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 those kind of that tone.
You mean
of
he didn't just
older.
Leave? They're asking him questions about his age. He didn't just walk out of the interview.
But I also think, and I told Paul this, my reaction was he's now injecting the, I want to do this for a long time. There's no other place I want to do this. I want to be here for a long time. Almost preemptively. And I don't know if what that's about.
You're talking about the last 2 years of his contract.
Well, yeah,
last
3 years. Yeah. And to tie into that, Paul and I have been discussing, and I noticed this a lot. Everybody says, well, he's not going to play for that. He's not going to be here for that contract, the 987 or whatever the millions. And I say, well, why and how? You know, and some, I believe, think it's a negative. Well, he's going to get traded or he's going to get cut. He's, you know, Garoppolo or whatever. We're going to transition. And then others seem to think these are pro-Brady people. Well, he's just going to get more money. So are they just going to rip up the contract and give him $20 million a year, like, you know, the common value of how are we getting away from he signed a contract and, you know, we don't do fake contracts that Robert said and all that. How are we getting to a point where he's not going to play for that contract?
I mean, do you think it's unreasonable that, you know, 2 years are left and, you know, they say he's not playing at quite the level he was, but he's still among, you know, the better quarterbacks, so let's pay him $15 million. And he's okay with that.
So we're just going to give him an extra $6 million. Why?
Because you want to keep him.
But he can't go anywhere. He's under contract.
Andy's point is he just doesn't see Tom Brady as the type that would really.
Oh, you don't think he would use the leverage?
Out. Well, see, I think he would.
Behind the scenes, I think he would use the leverage, but.
I do, and that's why Andy and I disagree on this one.
I mean, are you really. His whole image and everything, would his image be fine if he holds out? I don't think he can.
He's not going to hold out.
It's always been about team goals, and it's not about being the highest paid player. It's not about individual desires.
It wouldn't be a public. I agree with Andy on this. It would not. He would definitely not tarnish his image. He'd do it the way he's done it in the past.
But if
through his Bobos.
But can you only do it in the background and have it succeed? Is there enough?
I think he can do anything.
In that?
I think Brady has enough where he can
get on the phone and call the owner.
Oh yeah.
Brandon Spikes can't do that.
Right.
You know
right.
what I mean?
Well, I mean, by all accounts, this deal was hashed out by the owner and by the quarterback.
No, I know.
On a plane, right? From
right.
somewhere to somewhere.
Which kind of tells you that if, you know, when push comes to shove, it'll be the two of them that will figure something out.
But doesn't Robert say?
If they both want it.
Tom, what's changed now? You probably were confident you were going to be good when you signed this. And
oh, but they kind of know something was going to
well, then why'd they sign it?
I don't know. Maybe,
That's my question. You just said it. They had to know something was going to well, then why'd they sign
just
it?
Like, just to have flexibility at that time for both sides, you know?
I guess I don't really get it.
I know. When it happened, we were like, boy, this doesn't really give him a lot of leverage.
No, he can be traded at the end
of his contract. He has no leverage.
So why'd he do it?
Maybe he has enough trust in Robert Kraft that he's okay with it. He knows he'll take care of me when the time comes.
But if you have that much trust, then just don't sign an extension. Just wait, because I trust Robert.
Well, I think that he did the extension part of it.
Yeah, but then it eliminates all the back talk and, you know.
But I think that at the time that he did the extension, it was beneficial to the team.
Right. They guaranteed
the money and
spread
it out. Now, it was beneficial to Tom, too, because he got more money.
They guaranteed like $32 million.
Right. Yeah, he doubled
his spread. Which is one of the fallacies that people.
Right. He doubled his guaranteed money.
He always does well.
Right. He only got an additional handful, I think like $3 or $4 million, but he doubled his guaranteed money.
Correct.
And got a lot of it right away, and that's why, you know, he did it. The team got some relief in the immediate that.
And some they got it actually short in long term relief.
Right, and the long term is really beneficial because now the cap has gone up again, like most people thought it would, and the salaries in those last 3 years are pretty low for a guy of his caliber, unless he drops off the face of the earth. I don't see that happening. This is why I think Andy and I we talk about this a lot. I know it might surprise people, but Andy and I continue the radio show up in my office a lot of times. We just talk about random stupid stuff. we go back and forth on this, and he's on one camp. I agree with Andy. I don't think he'll publicly hold out. I can never envision Tom Brady being quoted as saying, I am not playing for $9 million in 2015. I don't see that.
I mean, it goes against the quotes he said yesterday.
But I see Michael Silver writing a column ripping the Patriots.
Right. Yeah, about does that force your hand enough
well,
to hand him $6 million or $8 million? Or?
Like Fred said, Tom is behind right. the scenes saying, we got to do something about this. I'm still throwing 35 touchdowns, even though I'm 38.
If I'm Robert, I get out yesterday's interview, and you said it's not about the individual goals. It's about the team goals. It's about what's good
for the team.
And then
I'm Tom, and I break out the Robert quotes about the we don't do fake contracts. Tell that to Vince Wilfork twice. I mean, of course they do fake contracts.
Yeah, but then this would just be another example of a fake contract.
Right. So we'll rip it up and give me more money.
So it's going to be very interesting.
As usual, I'd side with Robert on that. You shouldn't have signed it if you didn't like it.
I mean, I don't know how the Patriots did it, but it does give them all the leverage.
Do you think he would
contract.
Be cut and or traded?
Do you think only he could
if his,
be?
Only if his play dropped off.
I definitely think he could be.
Not because of...
Not cut.
I think that less and less.
Not cut. But not because of... If his play dropped off like Sam Monson seems to think it is, and all of a sudden in 2 years, you know...
Sam Monson listens and is like, those son of a bitches, I didn't say that.
Well, this is the internet.
Well, he said he dropped off. He said he dropped off.
No, I know, but.
I mean, I'm not putting words in his mouth.
To the point that he's
killing
him.
Because I think he dropped off too, just not as much as he thinks
he dropped
off.
Right, and you think it's mostly in January.
Well, I mean, some would say that's a fact, not opinion, but, you know, whatever. And I know it's hard. It's hard to win.
Some who use the phrase fact, not opinion are morons.
It's hard. It's hard to beat the good teams. But if let's just say he still, let's say he becomes legitimately a second tier quarterback. Not a stiff, but a second tier quarterback. Okay. So he's still good, but he's not Rodgers.
He's good for six games every year, not 16.
He's universally accepted as not Rodgers in that group anymore. Okay? Maybe the Patriots don't want to give him more money, and he wants more money, and now there's the trade.
We do a trade. Right.
Because his contract is very flexible.
I mean,
very easily.
Bobby Orr got traded. Joe Namath got traded. OJ Simpson got traded.
The Bobby Orr thing is
a little
different.
Joe Montana got traded. Or did he get traded or did he?
Yeah, he got traded.
I mean, they.
So yeah. Now
the greatest of the great.
The next step
I don't
to
think
the
it
question,
would happen. I think he's going to get more money and stay. But
the
it
next
could
step
happen.
To the question is: will Robert Kraft and Bill Belichick be on the same page?
That's another good question.
And who do you think
the next
want
step
him to
of the
say?
Question is?
I would
is,
think that Belichick would be the one that says it's time.
Yes,
oh, I do too, I think Robert will be the one who doesn't.
I agree.
Know, Robert, who happens to own Patriot Place, where there happens to be a TB12 training facility, and happens to have a home right next to the one Tom Brady is building, and happened to have spoke kindly so that he could buy the home.
Let me tell you something, Robert Kraft.
I don't know why that's at the end of the day.
Robert Kraft's main
because he couldn't buy the land without Robert and Jonathan Kraft vouching for him.
No, I understand that, but what? So what,
I think
what
they
changes
are,
if he's no longer a Patriot. With that,
I just think their relationship is so tight and
I
close
too,
and
at the
intertwined.
End of the day,
it's business.
I think
business
it's
and per-
business.
Well, yeah, so's TB12.
No, I know, but and
I think they are intertwined beyond belief, and I find it hard to believe that Robert's going to want to.
But TB12's business is useless if he's not a Patriot.
No, but it's useless here.
Why?
I
mean, let's not be under the pretense that
he's not up there,
you know,
no,
he's up there talking
push-ups.
About.
And the guy wouldn't be there either. He'd be wherever TB12 is.
Not necessarily.
Alex Guerrero.
Not if your client list is, like, huge.
And
they're flying the business.
Right, they're flying to Foxborough. They're not going to fly to L.A. or wherever he's going to be.
Well, where are they flying from?
But I don't know.
It doesn't matter.
Wherever they live.
But does it have to, what I'm saying is, does it have to be this one particular guy? Has to be the guy that people are going to see at TB12? No, you're sort of paying for the...
Right.
The aura
it's
of TB12. It could be anybody working
about.
I know the Brady hole. It's a system, and
it
I'm
is.
A blah 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 blah.
I don't know. I don't know what it is. But I'm just saying.
I don't think the
Alex...
grand plan of TB12 was to have one location.
Yeah,
I think it's probably going to be.
So either
it's the goal, and certainly not to have one location in Foxborough.
And in case people don't know what we're talking about, there's a performance training, facility up here that has the name TB12. That's run by, you know, Brady's guru. His life
coach,
I guess.
Who Andy and I once thought was his agent.
Right.
It's not his agent.
Right.
Alex Guerrero, right?
Right. He runs TB12, and he's got this
good
system.
Guy.
It's
nice
a
guy.
Method. The TB12
the
method,
TB12
I believe
method.
It's called.
Yeah. And I'm sure that the plan is to have these all over the country.
Andy, I do agree with you in that regard. I do think that it'll be contentious, and not between necessarily Brady and the team, But I think it would be setting up for the coach and the owner to not necessarily be in agreement on that. And I do think with Fred, you're right. I think Belichick would probably be, much like we've consistently heard him talk over the years, better to be a year early or so with something like that. You know, if Garoppolo is coming on and, you know, he's performing well in behind the scenes and practice and whatnot, and this is way down the road. This is not going to happen in July.
Well,
we're talking about two years minimum.
But not way down the road.
Let me tell you something. 2 years minimum.
If every sign that you can get from a young quarterback is positive, I'm telling you, and they see that in Garoppolo, by next year, they're going to be like, you know, we've got a guy right here.
But listen.
And they're not going to say, well, we're going to overextend and pay more money if he wants the more, you know, we're going to try to get that asset and we're ready to make the transition. And I don't think Robert will like it. I don't think Robert will be ready to do that.
We have a precedent that couldn't be more perfect of late. You had Andrew Luck, the no questions asked franchise quarterback of the future, wherever he landed. And you had the Brady of Indy in Peyton Manning, who had a career threatening injury, who hadn't played for a year.
Right.
And it was still difficult in Indianapolis.
Sure.
For Ursay and the organization and the fan base and everybody. Your little theory, you know, Garoppolo's great in the background. Well, if Brady's still good to very good to great.
Yep.
Now it's really hard.
It's really hard. It's
right. It was hard when it was obvious. The obvious answer in Indy was you have to let Manning go
because
he's old and he's hurt, and you have the perfect response in Luck.
Right.
We don't have the perfect response. We have a second round pick out of Division I AA football, and under our little hypothesis here, Brady's still playing well. So you don't even have the career threatening injury as you're out.
Yeah,
right?
But
and oh, by the way, Manning had like a $30 million bonus. Brady has $7 million salary.
Right.
It's the opposite of the perfect. It's the hardest possible one.
You're exactly right. Yeah. I mean,
but under that scenario, I think Brady's going to want more money and you don't.
Oh, no. I think he might want it. I just don't think he has a leg to stand on to ask for it.
Yeah, well, I think he...
Both in terms of what he's always philosophically spewed, and spew I do think is the right word sometimes, and signing the contract. I mean, everything about him would be, it would be hypocritical for him to hold out and say, I deserve more.
But I think you're just, I think you're discounting the public perception that will come with something like that. And you might sit there and say, what do they care? They do care. And I think that there would be... The organization, they care how they're perceived, you know, whether it be the Crafts, you know, specifically the Crafts in this case. They don't want to hear national columnists writing about how the Patriots are mistreating their best asset of all time in Tom Brady. And that's what would happen if he was scheduled to make, let's say it's 2016, he's scheduled to make $8 million, and his story's starting to circulate that Brady is a little, you know, behind the scenes, Brady's unhappy with this situation. He wants more of a commitment. But he wants more money. And it's ridiculous that the Patriots are not stepping to the plate and taking care of their asset. He, 3 years ago, you know, restructured his contract and did this and that to help the team. And now when it's time to pay for him, he's still throwing 35 touchdowns.
But
he's still one of the best three quarterbacks.
Even if
they won't like that.
Even if it doesn't come directly from Brady, if that happens, eventually, Brady's going to have to answer the question, what were you thinking when you signed that contract?
Andy, on paper, black and white, Andy is 100% right.
Yeah.
What were you thinking?
What were you thinking?
Why did you do that? Why did you agree to this?
Right.
Now, we're obviously, we're sort of, this is like why people hate talk radio. We're inventing a problem that hasn't even come close to coming to fruition.
I mean, you listened to him yesterday, and I mean, it's heaven here.
Right.
You know, there's nothing to worry about.
On paper, Andy is 1,000% right. Why did you agree to this in the first place if you weren't intending to play for those numbers? Now, maybe Tom is the one guy.
Right.
He's genuine about the whole
thing. He's going to set a new
precedent. I don't care. $7 million.
All you have to do is marry someone who makes more than you, and you can do what I did.
Right.
I mean, I married someone who makes more than me, and I'm still looking for more.
All right. WebRadioPages.com, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Let's get to the phones. Eldridge is in North... Oh, I just dropped him.
What are you doing?
I hit the wrong button. Sorry, Eldridge. Call back.
That's okay. Derek Johnson wasn't getting it done at OTAs. Don't worry about it.
I hit the wrong button. Let's go to Michael.
Kyle Offray.
Michael in Oregon. Eldridge is only on for 35 minutes. What's going on, Michael?
He just crossed the Alabama border.
What's up?
Brett, Fred, it's nice to have you back, but I got to give the guys credit. They did a pretty good show without you.
Okay, well, that's good. Pretty good is what I pay them for.
He's right there.
That's cool. First of all, I'd like to thank you guys for getting me through my first year of college.
Successfully?
Yeah, I got one more final at 6 o'clock, and I'm out of here.
Nice.
So where are you, Oregon or Oregon State?
Oregon.
Okay.
Yeah, so that was nice because the podcast kept me through the long nights of studying.
What's the what do the co-eds look like at Oregon? Is that a school that has a lot of hotties?
The cheerleaders are known for being one of the hottest in the Pac-12. But
they like to duck.
Personally, it's all right. It's not that bad. It's not that great.
I can't imagine they're competing with Arizona State.
Do you have more success than Eric?
Well, Arizona State's way better.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm just wondering in
like,
general.
He jumps and he goes,
USC,
yeah, it's like,
UCLA.
That's not fair. Arizona State.
I got to tell you. Sorry, Mike, I'll get back to you. The USC cheerleader sweater is one of the most hot, iconic anything in history. And it proves that you don't need skin.
Right.
Because it's phenomenal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you see that sweater, and there's really no skin. It was fine in the 50s, and it's fine, but it's so hot.
You just want to cuddle.
Well, I mean, Oregon's all about the new uniforms, and there's a thousand combinations. I personally don't like it, but I'm one of the rare few.
Right.
I like simpleness, but that's me.
All right.
I always thought you were a bit
so
of a simpleton.
I'm sure you didn't call to talk about the co-eds. What do you got?
So it's a topic not that much talked about, but I've read about this guy's name on Bleacher Report, and then Mike Reese talked about him. How is Mr. Steve Bohane doing in practice? Because I heard he's stepping into the Dane Fletcher role.
I mean, you know, I know it sounds like a broken record, but all we see is them stretching and running through pylons. So it's impossible to say how he's doing in practice. They don't even have pads on.
No, they don't have pads. They don't have jerseys. I mean, he's out there, and I've seen him in front of the huddle.
Yeah.
Well, that's good, I guess. But, I mean, to judge what he's doing.
This is a learning.
I know that Mike Reese said that even though they brought in James Anderson, that Steve Beauharnais is kind of getting into the leadership role a little bit, and that was just nice to hear now that we don't have Spikes or Fletcher.
Yeah, no, I mean, Beauharnais will be in the mix because he was here, and
he led the huddle on some plays when they were going 11-on-11. I assume Mayo's not involved in some of that stuff, so...
somebody has to.
Like Andy said, he's
but I will say,
he's out there.
If Mike Reese writes it, somebody probably wants it written. He probably has somebody telling him good things about Steve Beauharnais. So I wouldn't
just laugh it off.
You guys make fun of me for my media check marks.
No, this isn't a bad thing.
Somebody wanted them to write it.
Mike Reese is tied in.
You're saying when Reese writes it, there's a reason.
Most of the every once in a while he swings and misses and goes just on his own observations and whatever. But most often he's hearing something. And I think there's some validity to that. So my guess is they like Steve Beauharnais. I don't know that puts him ahead of James Anderson. You know, as we talked last week, James Anderson became the fourth best linebacker on this team. It's a long ways to go, but the fact that he was just here all year last year said they liked something about him. And, you know, he didn't do much. He was inactive in special teams, but they invested a year in him, and now it's the start of the second investment.
Now, next week for the mandatory minicamp, do we get to watch the entire practice like training camp?
So we watch the entire
whole practice now.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, but we don't see
it. They don't do anything.
And they don't
have uniforms.
And it was pouring. Yeah. And I was sulking.
But next week they'll have some pads on?
No.
Oh, no pads?
Camp will be pads.
Okay.
Training camp.
Yeah. Until then, we try to make chicken salad out of you know what.
We'll have nothing in like it.
All right, Mike. Thanks for the call.
Thanks, Michael.
Steve Beauharnais fan there.
Liked how he said it like Eric, too. Beauharnais.
Yeah.
And he knew that he was doing it.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I like.
Yeah, he's not a douche. Eric's a douche.
Right, exactly.
Let's go to Eddie in New Jersey. Hey, Eddie.
How you doing, guys?
What's up?
I love the show. I try to listen to it as best as I can. But I'm listening to a couple of things you guys saying, and sometimes I guess the way I was thinking was that when you're in there so much and don't step back and look at it the way you kind of do, you kind of start chasing your own tail. What I mean is about Brady and winning the Super Bowl. Because, we can argue whatever you want to argue about his greatness, his playoff record, whatever. But at the end of the day, you know that, let's talk about Montana. Montana's the greatest of all time, right? Montana had the best defense and the best offense during all those Super Bowl years. And Brady hasn't. You know, Brady is one of the best of all time with what he has. And a lot of people don't even realize that. Look at Manning's team last year. And look at Brady's team, and look how far they both went. That's the way I measure the greatness of both teams. I mean, both players. And what I'm saying is that, you know, we need to understand that Brady is only one person, and this is a team sport. And remember, defenses win championships. Look at what the Seahawks did to the Broncos last year. You know, and like I said, if you go back to all the Super Bowls that he's lost to the Giants, they didn't have it. I mean, in 07, the Patriots defense was actually at his last, you know, breath. It was almost out because you saw the diminishing of the defense initially when they played the Baltimore Ravens. I mean, they were really tested. I mean, their schedule was not as easy as Denver's last year, you know, where they played subpar teams, sub 500 teams the whole season. And the only teams that they played with winning records, they struggled against. So I mean, it's not like he went down, his talent level went down, his age is catching up to him. No, I think it's a team sport. I mean, if your offensive line.
So if you have a great defense, you can win. It doesn't matter about the quarterback.
That's exactly
okay.
Well, you know, Eddie, it's
fine.
While you were talking,
when the Patriots had great defenses, they won.
But I know. What, you know, I was kind of daydreaming while Eddie was talking, but about what Eddie was saying, and I was thinking about our conversation about Brady's contract, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, what if the conversation was, look, Tom, we know that we had the best offense in the history of football, and we lost the Super Bowl.
I guarantee,
you know, what if Bill Belichick and Robert Kraft said, we promise you, in the last 2 or 3 years of your contract, we are going to load up on defense.
I like
defense.
It. I like it.
Like you've never seen before. And it's not going to be all on you.
I like it.
It's going to be back to 03.
I don't think they've done it, but I like it.
No, but
they added, I would think.
There's no more guarantee that you're going to win with that than you are with the 07 offense.
No, but according to Eddie, and maybe even Brady agrees, there's a better chance to do
Absolutely.
It if you have great defense rather than the great offense.
Look at the history of
Peyton Manning
and maybe
won
that
a Super Bowl with the worst defense in the history of the sport in 2006. So,
but there
you can win in any the single worst run defense ever. Ever.
Well, the league has turned into a passing league. So, the rushing is not is the rushing defense to me because look at when Indianapolis won the Super Bowl. They have the worst.
Defense in the history of football.
In the history of football. So right. They still want to check.
But they went up against the Bears, who didn't really have a great defense either. So
exactly. But
the Bears didn't have a great defense in 2006?
No.
They didn't.
You see what happens when you try to have these. They had no offense, but they had a defense.
Whether it was the Colts or the Patriots, whoever went up against the Bears, people said they were going to win.
Well, that's probably true.
Yes, the AFC then was better. Just like now, whoever goes against the NFC is going to lose.
But the Bears had a very good
defense. Because the NFC is better.
Honestly, I don't believe so. I don't believe the NFC is that far off from the AFC the way you guys look at it. Because remember, no matter what...
Wait, how can you not think that? You think defense rules and all the defenses are in the NFC.
Okay, but remember,
I just watched Denver dominate
Seattle,
the Patriots in the AFC
San Francisco,
championship game, unlike I've ever seen the
Carolina,
Patriots dominated, and that team didn't even belong on the field with Seattle.
I'm not actually fighting with you, except for the fact you're contradicting yourself.
That's why you
constantly.
That's why you see the emphasis on the AFC side to load up on defense, so they can.
No, it's back not. On. That's not why you see. You're just trying to get better any way you can. This whole thing about loading up on one side, I don't think coaches do this.
I think Bill saw the Super Bowl this past February. And he said, you know what? I must have had a V8 because we don't have a defense.
Well, I don't agree
so
with that.
So what about the last 5 years of the draft
for,
when they've been drafting defensive players?
I think he's
players.
Been saying that for a while, and I think they've just struck out on some guys that they've chosen. But I think they've been trying to get this defense better for a while now.
You just need is a pass rusher. You need a pass rusher to get paint off.
And they need a cover corner.
And they didn't draft one.
They
drafted a guy from Division II in the 7th round.
No, just easily. He's disruptive.
He's not a pass rusher, per se.
But he's disruptive. He can disrupt the passing game.
That's not what they drafted him for, is just to be a pass rusher.
No, disruption.
I saw him take a big step towards, let's shut down the pass, and let's see if we can, with different situational players, see if we can rush the passer and get some pressure up front, or some pressure from the corner, because... With what they have now, it's just not going to do it. They're not going to win a Super Bowl with the defense they have.
I got you, Eddie. All right, thanks for the call. I just think it'd be interesting.
You got him. He just said they're not going to win the Super Bowl with what they have.
With what they have.
And you believe that?
No, I guarantee.
You don't believe that?
I don't agree with him, but I understand his point.
Because I knew you didn't agree with
him. He's entitled to his point. I think they have a better defense now. I thought they had one last year.
He doesn't.
And had they not got hurt, I think they would have done even better than they did. But I just think it would be interesting if that conversation was, look, use that money that we're saving on you. We're going to make sure that you have the best defensive players we can get
but
on this
team.
But
that didn't happen.
Well, it's yet to happen.
Right.
It's starting to happen.
But you had more chances to do
that. If I were Brady,
there were pass rushers on the market. You could have gone after. How long do I have to start it to happen if I'm Brady?
If you were Brady in any conversation.
Darrell Revis is a nice start.
For a year.
If you were all in, you would have gone Darrell Revis. You would have gone, who's the Vikings guy, the pass rusher, or one of those guys. Jared Allen. You got one guy.
For a year.
Right. But I don't even care about the year. If they had loaded up this year and gotten Jared Allen and Julius Peppers and Darrell Revis, okay, that's loading up. And, yep, Brady, you're right. You guys gave me a defense like I've never had. You got one guy.
If you were Brady and any conversation started with what they were going to do personnel-wise down the road, wouldn't you just immediately ignore them after what's happened to him? Like, you know, Givens and Branch, see ya.
But the only thing
Welker, see ya.
I don't know what he knew. For all I know, they said, just so you know, we're not going to re-sign Welker. We're going to upgrade, and we think Amendola's better and younger, and we're going to give you a guy for 5 years.
You're right. There's a possibility of that. I'm taking the stories from the Bobos as being accurate. Guy like Michael Silver, who writes that behind the scenes, Brady wasn't happy. I'm taking that as to come from Brady.
Right.
And perhaps I'm putting too much stock into that. And this is going back, you know, when Welker left. This is going back, what, two years now.
Right. All right, food's here, so we're going to eat a little bit, and we got some emails. People didn't like the fact that you guys were chewing in the mics last week.
Yeah, which doesn't happen, by the way.
Oh, okay.
It doesn't.
All right, well, we'll try not to do that when we come
Eric
back.
Eric chews gum
but give us
on the air.
Give us a few minutes get some type of energy back, and lots of phone calls, lots of emails coming in. We'll do it all here in PFW in Progress.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved, with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie. Three Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
We're NRG.
And we're a new kind of energy company. One that's hard at work making the most of renewable sources of energy. One whose solar energy is helping power football stadiums across the country. One that's developing new technologies that can one day turn your home into its own source of power and put you in charge of how you use it. We're putting that power into your hands. NRG, the power to change life.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. People often ask us, where do you get your tickets? Well, the fact is we have a full buying department that every day receives hundreds of offers from ticket sellers. We personally select only the best tickets to provide you the best value and provide you with legitimate tickets, all with our industry-leading 200% guarantee. At Ace Ticket, we own the tickets we sell, so we only sell tickets we would sit in ourselves. For over 30 years, Ace has been Boston's own ticket agency. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
And now, story time with Fred Kirsch.
I had this dream. I was in this, it was sort of like a cafeteria setting with big glass windows. And a lot of people there were people that we worked with and like on the travel party. So we're looking and there's this weather coming and it's like dark clouds and it turns into this tornado. So I'm like, everybody get away from the windows. We get away from the windows and trees are coming down, but luckily nothing happened. So then that passes and then we decide that, okay, dinner is coming soon, but a lot of us wanted to work out after dinner, so this cafeteria turns into a hotel. And now a lot of us have to go up in the elevator to get our gym stuff, because after we eat, we're going to work out. So we get in the elevator, and it's a bunch of people, and one of them's Gino. And Gino has no pants on, Gino Capoletti. And his unit is attached to his hip.
Hello!
And it was like,
hello!
It was like a weird deformity. Like that no one ever knew about, but there it was. It's like, and my thoughts going through my mind was, how does he like explain that to women?
Why are you having dreams about Gino's unit?
Thanks, babe. It was attached to his hip.
I don't care where it's attached. Why are you thinking about his unit?
I don't know. It was just a weird dream.
That was Story Time with Fred Kirsch.
Next week, you're going to tell Gino this story, right? Please.
No. And you better not bring it up either.
All right, back here in PFW in progress. When Nick writes in about my fan idea, he says, easy, Jerry Maguire. Great idea, Fred, but don't start the march out the door just yet. Look at the Clippers situation. Fans can't make these billionaires do anything. They'll give us a nice little pat on the head and show us the door before they listen to the proles and change their world. I love the topic, but email is not the venue to discuss it because there are too many variables to type out. I'll leave it to Twitter. So that's people walking in the door. Seeing, swing by if you have a second after radio, want to talk. Okay.
It is PFW in progress. After
I may not have time, no socks.
2 seconds.
Okay. All right.
It's never 2 seconds with him. Well, there's one time it's 2 seconds, but we won't talk about that.
Sam writes in about Brady. He says, Chaps, he's just catching up with the podcast,
tan.
And I have to say I'm a bit disappointed with how you
see
get
any games
pressure
on
Sam
the way
Munson
home?
A bit more.
Fred, how come you didn't come back tan like Matt did?
Matt was
Excuse
tan
me,
before
no
he left.
Thank you.
Yeah.
He was tan before he left. He's tan.
And Matt stayed an extra day on his own time.
I heard. We were making fun of you.
On his own dime.
On his own dime.
Right. No, I know. Not making fun of you for that. Do you, like, start itching if you drive by a stadium and don't go attend a game inside? Like, if you're within a 90-mile radius, you got to hit it?
How was the Stanley Cup?
Yes.
See, that
good,
I don't make
experience?
Fun of you for. It's just the Angels game I make fun of you for.
By the way, No Sox was with me out in L.A., among others. And he took in
the
a Kings Dodgers game.
The Kings game, tremendous.
The L.A. Kings for game one, the Stanley Cup, and then he went to the Angels game.
Correct.
Yeah.
So, what's the draw of the Angels game? Just to check it off?
That's part of it. The other part of it is I enjoy live sporting events.
I do too, but to go out of my way to spend an extra day, as I said to Paul, the only great thing that ever happened in that stadium was Bo Jackson going deep to lead off the All-Star game.
That's, I mean, obviously you're not from around this area. He doesn't remember.
I do remember.
He doesn't remember David Henderson or anything like that.
No, I know.
Okay.
I just don't try to, you know, make light of
so
suicides.
So it's not the only great thing that ever happened in
Correct.
The stadium.
Of course,
the great Irving Fryer catch.
That I'm not familiar with.
Hail Mary from Tony Eason, 1986. Nice job, Paul.
Yeah. No, well, I work for the Patriots, so I tend to focus on Patriot-centric things.
I knew. Was it everything you thought it would be?
It was interesting.
Were you disappointed in Chavez Ravine? Seemed like the people that I've talked to were.
I don't know why. It's like 50 years old.
It's a throwback to the 60s.
Yeah.
They haven't really done anything since then. It looks like you're going to a Mad Men episode, maybe. Everything looks like it's from the 1960s.
So it sounds like you're a little... You knew what to expect, but then we're kind of...
But at the same point in time, I think any stadium that has palm trees is a part of the stadium where there's palm trees all around it. That's tough to take.
Not to mention whatever I heard about the $30 ticket, free food.
Sure.
All you can eat.
Yeah.
You know, I heard the Dodger dogs were a little gross, but...
Not a hot dog guy.
No?
Grilled dog guy. Not a steamed dog guy.
Really? It matters?
Absolutely.
Oh, there's much hot dogs and sausages.
Yeah. I eat them all.
Okay, I'm not a big steamed guy. Steamed dog guy.
Much better grilled.
Really?
You have to admit.
Absolutely.
I don't, can't remember thinking that
Even
I cared.
Even a fried hot dog, we put a little butter on it. Oh, now you're talking.
Why'd you just inject the cholesterol right into your veins? Right
you
your
fried
No wonder you couldn't make the walk to the steakhouse, fatty.
You fry it on butter.
Hot dogs are 3 mile walk.
No wonder your gut is sweating.
Vicious. Just vicious.
He's such a bad guy. It's ridiculous.
All right. Thanks for stopping by.
It's funny because
while we're on the topic, I just wanted to stick with one last thing. I heard you were at a loss at what to buy your wife.
I wasn't at a loss.
So you just bought her a Dodgers jersey?
I brought her a Brooklyn Dodgers replica baseball jersey. She loved it. And a t-shirt. But she loved it. Yeah.
Blank? Or does it have like Jackie Robinson?
No, it just said Brooklyn on it. Yeah. She loved it.
When's she going to wear that?
It's really nice looking. You know, it's casual. It's like cruise wear.
Because you guys go on a lot of cruises.
I will say that this story was relayed to me, the Brooklyn Dodgers part was left out.
It was also left out of the one I heard.
Far cooler that it was a Brooklyn Dodgers.
That was left out of the story to me, too.
People telling stories, are they?
No, you know how it is.
I know.
I mean,
it's a small
office. There's a lot to tell from this.
Right, and you know, we didn't get to take part, so we want to live vicariously through you cool people.
All right, so anyway, Sam is a little bit annoyed that you guys didn't pressure Sam Munson a little bit more. For example, when talking about Gronk, he just waved off the spike in Brady's numbers and said that would be the same for any quarterback, and you both talked about how you agreed. But in saying so, he's just admitting that the quarterback's numbers are inseparable from the supporting cast. Why does the spike with Gronk count less than the decrease in numbers with the others? It seems like this contradictory reasoning is all over the place in football.
Yep.
Tom E. Curran was guilty of the same thing, arguing the opposite in an article written in reply. And I think it's because we're desperate for stats to try and compare and contrast the best players, but at the same time, we kind of know it's pretty ridiculous to try and analyze stuff in a bubble. Also, could you ever see Brady saying, screw it, I've got enough money in playing for a peppercorn salary for a couple of extra years, such as a 2-year extension for $2? This would certainly be something I'd consider if I was in his position in order to maximize my chances of winning another championship. I mean, he seems a reasonably grounded guy. It's not about respect, and he could never spend all the money he and Giselle have earned. But yeah, I don't think the players, I really think the NFLPA would not allow that.
Well, they can't not allow it. They can discourage it.
There was a deal in baseball,
the baseball union didn't allow. Remember the Red Sox wanted to sign some guy in the NFL?
Oh, yeah. Well, he was giving money back.
The A-Rod thing. Yeah. But
I mean, he could play. He couldn't play for $2. He could play for $895,000 or whatever.
He had to play for the minimum.
But the union cannot disallow a contract like that.
Right. But no, I
they would discourage it.
I think there's a difference between money not being the driving force to your career and I'll just play for nothing. I think those are two different things. You know, Brady's still making an average of $8 million a year those last 3 years. A lot less than he could make. A lot less. But let's not make it sound like he's playing for the minimum.
But also,
just $8 million less than that.
Even at the $8 million, people assume he won't play for that. Something's going to change.
Right,
right.
All right, let's go to the phones. Carol's in Largo, Florida. She's been hanging around for a while. Hey, Carol.
Hey, how are you guys?
Good.
What's up?
Hey, funner than Hades out here in Florida.
Well, go swimming. There's water, right?
Yeah, got to go to work.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know. So all this talk about Brady, I think last year, Brady, that was his best year.
It was a challenging year in which he made the most out of what he had, I think. And I think you can definitely say that.
For what he had and all the injuries and to go as far as we did, that guy is phenomenal. When I watch him play, I spend the money to have DirecTV because I can't miss a Patriots game. And to see him play, man, I call him the conductor. He reminds me of the Larry Bird way back in when I was in my college days, late 70s. He knows where people should be, and that's what, you know. And when they used the, I don't know why they stopped it this year, but when he used that hurry up, no huddle, the Patriots are great at it.
Yep, they sure are.
Well, and some of the limitations on that are what we've been talking about, all the people around him. Kembrell Tompkins doesn't know where he's going when they huddle, never mind when they don't.
Well, that was, what's his name, too, they finally got rid of. What was his name? Oh, Joe Cinco? Was that him?
Yes. Yeah, oh, yeah, he had his issues with that.
He would do the opposite. It's like, help me. The whole thing is on one word. If he says blue, everybody knows where to go.
Right, but that puts a lot of onus on the people around Brady. Not, you know, Brady's been here 15 years. He can do pretty much any of it at any rate and any time in any environment. That's not always true of, and even McDaniels talked about Amendola was in his first year, and it's new to a system and learning everything. So you may see, and Brady actually brought up the tempo and things they've been working on yesterday when he talked. And maybe as this group is together another year here, maybe we'll see more of that and maybe see a little more fluidity in the offense.
All right, Carol. We get your point, and there's one fan who really thinks that Brady's season last year was his best.
Well, the best thing is what you get into. What do you mean by best?
Right.
Did he maximize what he could do? You can make an argument for that.
Well, a lot of people were saying if the Patriots had won a Super Bowl, it would have been Belichick's best year.
And I think you can argue they maximized what they were able to do with everything.
Right.
But you can't say it was his best because, I mean, the guy threw for 50 touchdowns.
2007.
And,
yeah, I mean, you could definitely say that he maximized what he – I mean, I don't think they could have done much better than 12-4. Let's put it that way.
And I think the best poster for that is the Gronk phase.
Right.
When you gave him Gronk, his numbers went through the roof. He maximized that, and then it came back down when Gronk left, and he was kind of trying to make do with Edelman and nobody else.
Joey's in Florida. Hey, Joey.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Long time no speak.
Is this Joey Feep?
Yep, Joey Feep.
Nice.
How you doing? Long time no speak. I'm going to go back to the right before the break. I want to talk about we want a defense. So I got a couple of comments and a question, if that's okay. And I'll take the answer off the air. Is that all right?
That's sure.
Okay, first of all, I want to give a shout out to Eldridge. I didn't know he was a truck driver. I drive a truck also. That's why he's really
hear
from me.
Yep, he is, and I hope you guys are getting enough sleep after what happened over the weekend.
What happened over the weekend?
The Walmart truck driver ran into Tracy Morgan's limo, and
Oh yeah.
Apparently, he was up for 24 hours straight or something like that.
By the way,
yeah,
he killed people too.
I drive by Tracy Morgan. I drive by the rules. I know my limit. I'm safe. Anyways, so on the other comment and before my question. There's a starring role available for the Invisible Man on Hollywood. They're going to do a remake of the old classic, Jake Beckett. And, right? Because he's invisible.
Yep.
All right. So, the defense. This is my question. We're all excited. I want a defense. I want offenses to soil their jock straps when their offense takes the field.
Would they have them on backwards?
I don't care.
Oh, okay.
You can have them on. They can have them on the head. I want to put the fear of God into opposing offenses. We're all excited about Revis Island, Browner. The secondary looks good. I like the linebackers. So here's the question: let's say we can get 75% out of Wilfork Kelly. What in the best case scenario, what could Armstead bring to the table? I know you don't get to see him, but based on what he did in the CFL, what could he bring in the best case scenario? And what's the best case scenario can we expect out of Easley, number one pick?
Well, that's the thing. Let's just say that the best happens, and Easley and Armstead are in the mix. I think now you have a little bit more mobility on your defensive line where you can do maybe more of that NASCAR stuff where you're moving guys around, and both Armstead and Easley and Chandler Jones are moving around the line and they're looking for those matchups. They're mixing it up. You know, they're confusing the offensive line they're going up against. And I think the three of those guys, the projections are, you know, they're a little bit more athletic than Kelly and Wilfork, or, you know, a little bit more mobile, and, you know, they could cause some problems.
Yeah, I mean, the best, if you literally go best case scenario, you have a phenomenally athletic young defensive front. Because you have an Armstead who's now a defensive tackle, but he was a defensive end at USC. He's an athletic guy. And he can get after the passer, can play the run, can be versatile. And if he's your tackle with Joe, you know, he can be an athletic tackle. And obviously Easley's MO is athletic, penetrating, disruptive type player. But, I mean, now you're talking about pie in the sky.
Right, that's
what I'm talking about. But yes, best case scenario, they are a much deeper, younger, athletic defensive line.
We want pie in the sky. We want it.
Sure. I mean, that's the goal. So do the coaches.
Well, how about the guy you brought up? Pie in the sky. Suddenly Jake Beckett gets to back to the guy who had 10 sacks at Arkansas. We'll throw him into the mix of pie in the sky.
He's only been on the field one time.
I think the pitcher for the Dodgers.
One more than Armstead.
How come you can have pie in the sky, but I can't have pie in the sky?
The pitcher for the Dodgers by the same name has a better chance of having 10 sacks.
Hi!
I love when Fred drives callers away. It's my favorite part of the show.
David's in Maine, and he's a first-time caller. Hey, David.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Good. Awesome. Yeah, I've listened to
Good. Awesome. Yeah. That was awesome. Remember that time you called for the first time? That was awesome.
I said it's like first-time caller.
That's it right here.
What do you do in Maine for fun?
Oh, man. Summertime. It's what everyone else does. All the tourists come in and keep our economy going. Oh.
What do you do for work?
Well, I work for the Department of Education, and we help out kids that are disadvantaged, and especially kids with high mobility that do work in different crops around the state, and making sure that because their parents have to move for work, that the kids' education doesn't falter. So we
interesting.
Just
that's a noble cause.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, it pays okay too.
Okay. At least he's honest. Wow. Yeah, yeah, that's great, but it pays well.
Just kidding. But,
so, are you buying lunch?
I could. Well, actually.
Kevin, put him on the list.
One of the things I did recently, too, was get an iPad, and obviously the first purchase was the Patriots Football Daily.
Well, so, great. Thank you very much.
Daily. Appreciate your business.
Absolutely no. And just after listening to PFW in Progress, obviously, for, you know, 8-plus years, I felt like it was time to actually put some money into it, right? So
yes,
that was on
been freeloading long enough, you bum.
Right, exactly.
Kids so helping there, guys helping I kids do. Get educated.
He already admitted he doesn't care about the kids. It's about the money.
He's all about the money.
It was a joke. So the main thing that I want to talk about is actually pretty serious. Was how we can reinstall the Fred Paul epic argument, because that has really been lacking recently. And
oh,
I remember
happen.
Back in, like, early 2000s, right, we had some epic arguments in the offseason, and I just want that to get back in the works. I didn't know if we just need more effort from Paul or...
We've been looking for more effort from Paul for about 6 years now.
Whether it's Paul and me or me and Andy or Andy and Paul, I think we've had some...
Well, part of the problem is we've been doing the summer thing where I was gone and then you were gone, and it cuts into those because you need the instigator, the other guy. We're at our best when we're all kind of together.
Right.
And speaking of that, don't get used to that happening too often in the next few weeks.
That's true. Summer of Andy coming up.
I think the problem for me and Fred is I think, being as honest as possible, I think we've agreed too much lately. Like, you can't just, you know, do we exaggerate the argument maybe a little bit more than it needs to be? Yeah. But I don't think we generally start them on things that we don't necessarily
disagree
on. We don't
make them up.
We don't.
We don't fabricate
them. And that's why they're good.
Right.
Right.
So lately, Fred has been rational. What do you want me to tell you?
I thought you guys argued while I was on vacation about Brady falling off the cliff, but it hasn't happened yet.
We might have had
one. Oh, no, it was actually not even an argument. It was on Tuesday, Fred said there's been no drop-off, and on Thursday, when we were talking about how the new coach, two years.
That did happen. Yeah.
Garoppolo. And I was like, so some people have said, you know, I don't know, in the past, like, say, Tuesday.
Well, the best part of that argument from Fred is he is expecting Manning and Brady to essentially fall off in sequential years. No. This year for Manning and next year for Brady.
No, I don't expect that. When I say fall off, I mean you were saying.
It depended if it was Tuesday or Thursday that week when he thought it was going to drop off.
You were saying.
I wasn't here, so don't say you for me.
You start to see signs of decline, and I said, yeah, in a couple years you will. Manning this year, you're going to see, okay, this could be it.
David, back me up. That's not exactly how he said it, was it?
This could be it. No, of course it is.
No, he's going to click it off.
Of course it is.
Thanks for the call.
All right. What, anything else, David, before?
I actually did just have,
45 minutes left, David. Don't worry about it. We got something.
Exactly. Yeah, definitely my time here.
Well, you haven't bought lunch, so it's not your time yet.
The part. Right. I listened to the draft shows live, but I guess I missed this because I just listened to day two again and said, you're the man, but I did have a question. When Jimmy Garoppolo was picked, I know Paul really didn't like the pick. And he was going to, like, tweet out the fact that maybe he didn't like it. And you said that because, you know, you work for Patriots, that it might not be the best time to critique the pick.
Yeah, I remember
that.
Yeah. That
was really the first time that I'd heard, you know, some sort of, I don't want to say bias, but some sort of critique of, you know, you guys not being able to say exactly what you want to. And that's exactly why I love PFW, is because you guys, I think, are honest more than the other Boston media.
Well, on the show, accurate. Paul but, said
wow.
What he thought.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, David. Yeah. That last part... Like, we're more balanced than the rest of the media. That's like the nicest thing anyone's ever said to us.
More balanced, more logical.
Yeah, I remember exactly what you're talking about, and I think I think my gut reaction at that time had more to do with Twitter than the show. Right. Obviously, in the show, we were all saying what we thought, you know, willy nilly. But I just thought I to go right out on Twitter. I just wanted to help Paul out.
No, a little bit. I hear you. Yeah. And,
thank you for that.
Because I do, and I guess too, just kind of a general thought, and then I know it's been on forever, so I'll hang up. But I was just wondering too about what you guys think in the Boston media, because I mean, in general, I'm just obsessed with the news perspective and really, you know, what people's angles are, in the Boston media, especially about sports, what you think the different angles are, and I guess this gets back to my main thing too. Paul, I would love some more, Paul on Boston media crime, because I just love hearing about, you know, when people are biased about the Patriots, either way, you know, I need to know that information.
Yeah.
And two, about what you guys think your own maybe point of view is, and maybe other people in the media. But I'll hang out.
Okay.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, David. Well, that's part of the fan alliance network, is they'll be able to address those things.
But this is the issue that I've always said. Like, I know it for the Patriots. I generally know people's angles and connections. I don't know it for news. I don't know it for politics.
Yeah.
And it happens in all forms of journalism.
Yep,
and that's where I feel at a loss every 4 years election. And I'm reading, well, can I take this for what it's at? Are they manipulating these numbers, these angles, these quotes, these?
I got into this big argument with Brian Morey years and years ago about, he was telling me that in news, there is such a thing as unbiased journalism. And I was saying, they might try, but there is no such thing as completely unbiased
journalism. When it's politics.
Oh, yeah.
Because you can't be.
You can't
be totally removed.
And you're getting your info from sources.
Plus, and you're owned by somebody who
Andy
has money and has ties to somebody.
Right.
Andy's point is so right. So, you know, when you read your sports stories in the Boston sports media, you know generally all the different people that are involved in writing. So you know where they stand. And you read it and you say, well, that was Borges. So, you know, he's sort of confrontational when it comes to Belichick. So you sort of tend to read him with a little bit of a grain of salt when he's negative, as opposed to, in my opinion, every other member of the Boston media, to give you Dave what Dave was looking for in Maine. I think right now the four major sports are covered in Boston and this is definitely painting with a broad brush, but I'm going to do it because this is what Dave wants.
And plus, you're never going anywhere else anyway, so it's not like you need these people to be friends.
I think that, on average, there's a lot of younger guys in the Boston sports media scene right now, and I think they're a bunch of pom-pom waivers that are trying to curry favor with the teams that they cover, and they're looking to advance. And right now, there is very little in the way of anything analytical.
Yeah,
critical
I don't know.
In any way, shape, or form.
I'm not saying I agree with you to the point where I don't think that people do their homework, but I think that there's a. I think it's the opposite. I think there's a lot of people out there trying to say negative stuff just to get a name for themselves.
Who? Can you give me an example?
You know, just people.
And this is not Patriots. This is Boston.
Yeah,
the Red Sox right now are abysmal.
I'm not necessarily.
And I'm still hearing people tell me how they're a playoff.
I'm not
team.
Necessarily talking the beat writers, because the beat writers aren't really there to drum up controversy. They're there to report the facts on a day-to-day basis.
The facts.
Yeah.
Not the facts as they're perceived through right. red glasses.
Right.
But you know, Dustin Pedroia really hit a ball hard to the shortstop last night with two on and two out in the sixth. Huh. Tough break. I guess that ignores the fact that they got three-hit shutout by Bud freaking Norris.
I have no idea what he's talking about.
Because you don't care about other sports like I do. You only care about and that's okay. Right. I'm not making fun of you, but I watch this stuff, and I care about it, and I see analysis of games that I watched that is totally different from what I'm watching.
Right.
The Red Sox have not been unlucky so far. They suck. There's a difference.
True.
Okay.
They suck.
But who's saying that they've been unlucky? I don't know. I'm just asking.
I need names.
Anybody who write
really?
Scott Lauber.
Alex Speer?
Alex Speer. Rob Bradford.
Yeah, because I only get it when
Peter
they go on
Abraham.
Radio.
I mean, is that enough different
and everybody
guys?
Everybody I listen to on radio says they suck.
Mike Felger thinks they're a playoff team. The king of negativity in this town.
See, that's where he's miscast. He's the contrarian.
Yeah, he's the contrarian.
He's going to go the other way.
He's not the contrarian. Tony Mads is the contrarian. Everybody thinks they're underachieving right now. They're not underachieving. They're not good.
Well, I think a lot of people would say that equals sucks.
I don't think there's any question about it.
Oh, and also people get caught up in, I predicted them to win.
Do you read any of these stories from any of these guys?
No, I don't read anything.
They think they're going to turn it around any day.
Yeah.
Every time they win a game, red hot Red Sox, two in a row. Kevin's laughing because he knows what I'm talking about. They lost 10 in a row and won 3 in a row, and they were streaking.
They won 7 in a row.
No, but when they started the streak.
Oh.
Fred, before they won 7 in a row, they won 3 in a row.
I know.
That's how it works.
What are they now? What
before
they
and lost then they lost 5
eight,
in a row.
8 and 17 over their last 25 games or
right,
whatever.
Right.
I mean, they're not streaking. And just because they won 7 of those in a row doesn't mean they're hot.
See what he's like when he's actually passionate about something?
Yeah, no,
well,
I like it.
The more accurate thing, to get back to what Dave was talking about with Fred, when it's completely unvarnished, I don't have to worry about if I'm going to offend somebody because it's not the team I'm working for. And there is a little bit of a line that we need to sort of make sure we walk.
But I think,
because it is the team that we're employed by.
But I also
we have to
think,
have some respect.
Which, again,
with the Patriots,
is the same for everyone. There's a line for everyone somewhere. You've always you're call him, Pat Purcell?
But the real,
no one in the Herald rips Pat Purcell
right,
in the Herald.
But the real Boston media, that you know when you quote
there is
you,
no real Boston
media.
If it's
ESPN Boston or the Boston Globe or the Providence Journal, they shouldn't have to walk a line of what they're covering on their team.
That's true.
The way we do.
But
now,
they all
in terms
do.
Of their administration of their paper, that's why I used to always say Pat Purcell owned the Herald. The time 99% of the time that I worked for the Herald. Pat Purcell was the owner. He was a very approachable guy. Wouldn't know me from a hole in the wall now, but he was very very nice. We didn't work in ways to see if we could criticize the the board of trustees from the Herald. Okay? We didn't. Just like now, when we're working for the Patriots, we're not ripping to shreds the Kraft family.
Right, but
now,
why
nor do they deserve to be.
Right.
You know, before you get in your little high, why would you?
But that's the thing. It's like I find with
that was good.
I find with the Patriots, you know, when you go 12-4 every year and you're a model franchise,
you do everything perfectly.
The fact that you don't win the Super Bowl every year shouldn't diminish the greatness that we're seeing. And,
I agree,
and I really think that. You
but
know,
the greatness shouldn't overshadow the minutia that you screw up.
No, but
we're covering day to day, decision to decision, news to news.
But
some
for
of those
a lot
need
of people,
to be criticized.
The minutia of them screwing up turns into. Belichick should go as a GM.
Don't
he
say
stinks.
For some people. Ron Borges.
No.
He's the
people
only.
People that call this show.
Oh, we don't have a lot of that on our show. Come on, Fred.
The Patriots are cheap. They don't know how to draft.
And
they don't know how to.
And don't cross pollinate the fans with the media. Fans are allowed to react emotionally.
Well, to be fair, you kind of cross pollinated them because you called them all fanboys.
No, but what I'm saying, but they turn the media turns into fanboys.
No, but they probably start out as fanboys who join the media and remain fanboys in some way.
Don't you look at a guy who calls in a talk radio show the day after they let Wes Welker go and he. Spews off a whole bunch of negativity toward the team and look at that guy and say, this guy's invested. He's a fan of the
team. Passionate.
He's upset. His passion came out. I don't think that's necessarily an accurate depiction, probably, of said fan's overall views of the team. But at that particular moment, he was upset. A media guy reacting the opposite way, to me, and you saw, you know, very little complete evisceration of the Patriots. It was, you know, from Tom Curran telling you about how his old curmudgeon of an agent screwed the whole thing up, remember? When Welker left and stuff like that. I'm sorry, that's not a balanced look at the situation. I think sometimes the fans are a little bit more passionate about things than the media are, and I don't think that's right.
Yeah, but the media shouldn't be passionate. They should be accurate.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So don't tell me, my favorite line, Andy.
It's raining, and piss on me and tell me it's raining.
Thank you very much. And that's what happens, and this is not a Patriots thing. This is an all four Boston sports scene thing. The guy who covers, what's the guy who's covers, Fluto Shinzawa covers the Bruins for the Boston Globe. I happen to think he's solid beat writer guy, right? He wrote a column toward the end of the regular season suggesting that the Detroit Red Wings and the Washington Capitals were losing games on purpose because they didn't want to get the eighth seed to get their teeth knocked in by the Bruins in the first round. I mean, that's what passes for journalism. And I actually think he does a good job, but that's just unbelievable homerism. Dave, I hope I gave you what you were looking for. Now that I have no more friends in the Boston media.
I think there are a lot of layers to it, too. First of all, on the big picture, there are these, like, you know, corporate alliances. You know, flagship station, you know, this station hosts this show, this station, you know, they want to, some stations want to be certain things. And they're trying to curry favor for, now, they don't have the actual business tie now, they're laying the foundation so in 4 years when some contract comes out.
You're absolutely right.
And I just think there are so many layers of that at play.
And that's why I can't take it seriously.
But I think that's everything.
I totally agree with
you. The only problem with this is, we know.
Right.
Everything else, we're naive.
Yeah. I agree.
I read the Boston Globe about politics and think, oh, I'm an idiot, but I think this is fact, not swayed by some bias that I'm not aware of.
And this is why, as much as I get frustrated by the individuals like Ron Borges and Mike Felger, and right now I would put Kirk Minahan in that category, I sort of appreciate it. Because maybe they are just trying to be contrarian, and maybe that's the shtick. They're just trying to be contrarian, different than everybody else. Like Fred says, they're looking to throw something negative out there to get a reaction. Maybe that's why. But at least it's a dissenting view. There are so few of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Shaughnessy. Yeah,
but
Shaughnessy's
how many dissenting
guy.
Views should there be about a team that goes 12-4 every
Fred,
year?
Fred, wait.
There
We're
are no
talking...
dissenting views about the Patriots.
But no, I think there are.
But
they're
high.
There should be a ton of dissenting views on a microscopic level. Not necessarily jumping to your thing, Belichick's got to go.
Right.
But that pick he made sucked.
Okay.
Jimmy Garoppolo, he blew that pick. You got to draft somebody who can help you now. There is none of that.
But it always is... They don't know how to draft. You know, it turns into that instead of they missed on that guy.
No, they've missed on the draft picks in recent years. That's not that he doesn't know what he's doing.
I know.
Don't extrapolate that.
But
you're right. They shouldn't say the Patriots are the worst run organization in football. That would be stupid.
Right. People
but
don't
to say,
say
the
that.
Patriots blew this and blew. You know, they gave Danny Amendola a contract that was well beyond anything he should have. They blew that.
And I'll give you.
But
the...
no one does that. No, there are none of the microscopic criticisms.
I'll go back.
But
no, honestly, I do. I hear.
But you're hearing it from fans, not the media.
No,
he hears it in his car, and the radio's not on.
And you go back to Felger. And Maz, they have been, to Andy's point, talking about the individual drafts. And one of the things that they've been critical of the drafts, Felger, to the point, to back your point, one of the things he says all the time is, I get frustrated when they trade down because I have too much faith in Belichick to miss the first round pick. He never misses.
Yeah, that's the flaw with his logic.
No, I understand that, but is that a negative to a Belichick?
No, but it's a moronic argument.
It's not, I want to get
rid of
Belichick.
He trades down when he doesn't like the players.
Right,
he doesn't
right.
miss on them because he realizes the guy I take right. is probably going to be a miss.
Right.
That's the flaw in that whole right. 8 weeks worth of Felger ranting that no one wanted to call him out on.
But the point I'm trying to bring up, and I totally agree with Andy's counter to Felger's argument, is it's not, I want to get rid of Belichick. He doesn't know what he's doing drafting. It's the opposite. I have too much faith in Belichick
right.
to think that he'd miss these
first
round picks.
Except when he disagrees with me, because I know better.
Well, what are they supposed to do? Are you can you not analyze?
You're supposed to say, everything is awesome!
That's my point. And that's what you have in 95% of your coverage of all four Boston teams here right now.
Just not on Patriots.com, where you get objective analysis.
Patton Adwan says, Paul, Kirk Minahan is negative just to make a bigger name for himself and quite possibly the most negative media member in Boston.
Is that not what I just said?
He's also one of the most insufferable, unreadable, and ignorant people in the history of Boston media.
Did I not just say and that yet, sometimes these guys want to be contrarian? Well, that's the stick.
He has an ascending
now,
career.
Here's where I'm going to defend. Here's where I'm going to defend sports radio people. They're not journalists. They're there to completely entertain you.
But he writes too. But
I mean, I don't know about his writing.
He's not a journalist for writing. He's
doing,
a columnist.
When you're doing a 4-hour daily sports radio, yes, you're going to hit the low hanging fruit. You're going to rehash the same stories and go over and over. But
low hanging fruit. You know what that is? What people are talking about.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
What's interesting.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. You should be talking about people are talking about.
Nobody wants to listen to a 4-hour radio show that gets deep into the numbers.
Because that's way higher in the tree. It's not low hanging.
Nobody wants the deep X and O dive on a 4-hour radio show. You want to be entertained.
Exactly.
So I defend the Felgers and, those people.
But I agree with
the
emailer's description of Minahan. I think Minahan is a guy who largely is looking for the,
he's doing his
the
job.
Shock value.
He's
I think he's very good at it.
Yes.
You know who's not good at it? Dale Arnold.
Right.
Who tells you, hey, everything is great.
Paul's done with the writers. He's moved on to radio.
Everything is great. Don't worry about it.
Do you think about the new midday show, MFB?
I haven't heard enough of it.
Oh, that's not what you said upstairs. You're still looking for a gig.
You didn't let me finish. I haven't heard enough of it, but it hasn't been very good what I've heard.
I actually do find it catchy when the voice guy goes, MFB. I think that's the catchiest part of the show.
Boring.
I like how when they do the promos for it in MFB, what does that mean? Whoever's reading it.
Right. Dave says, Paul, you just gave me exactly what I was looking for.
I figured that's what you wanted. Sometimes you just give the fans what they want.
Let's go to Dan.
I know it's low-hanging fruit, Fred, but sometimes you just give them what they want.
Let's go to Dan in Virginia. Hey, Dan.
I sure hope PFW provides a strong retirement benefit package because bullying, getting a job nowhere else.
That ship has sailed, my friend. I've been trying. No one wants me. Maybe it's my abrasive personality. I don't know.
Boston sports media. Check, 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 and check.
You know what the ironic part of you, though, is? There's a website called Boston Sports Media that you rip to. They rip other people, and you rip them ripping other people.
Because
ripping.
That is the highest platform of what I'm ripping. That is the grossest example of, 12-4. Okay. If it doesn't matter what they do, and they're just going to go 12-4, that's all. Okay. I can't argue with them. And by the way, I know that he's not a very popular guy in Patriots land for obvious reasons, but hats off to John Tomasi today for finally writing that the Red Sox have not run into bad luck.
Well, don't you think just, with the Red Sox, some of it
they're trying
is,
and just not playing well.
Is that some people predicted them to win 90 games, and you're wrong if you say they just suck. You miss the analysis if you just flat out say they sucked. So rather than say that, you make excuses for why they're losing, which is goes against your prediction.
Right.
You're kind of trying to defend yourself as much as you are the team.
That's true.
Because everybody wants to be right, like me.
What do you think, Dan?
Always completely agree with Andy. Except when he opens his mouth.
Yeah, mother.
No, two things before I get onto my question. The first is, Fred, you just mentioned journalism is different from sports media. You could have an interesting conversation with John Rook about that topic sometimes. It'd be interesting to hear that, particularly on the radio, the two of you going at it on that particular topic. But the other thing, Fred, I wanted to confirm, so you were not the guy that bought Brady's house down in L.A. while you were down there last week?
No, I wasn't. Dr. Dre outbid me.
That's too bad. I had this tractor-mounted nut wizard that I was going to sell you so you could scoop up all the acorns on your new monstrous
there
property.
There you go. Yeah.
Plus, you got to get them out of the moat, too. Floating acorns are a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's like bobbing for apples.
The question I had was, Pats Nation is celebrating over the prospect of a Belichick defense armed with Darrell Revis and all the other guys who have drafted and obtained this offseason. It seems to me that this is the first time that a Belichick defense has had the secondary as its strongest part. It's always either been the linebackers or maybe the linebackers and the line in all of his great defenses of the past. He had good cornerbacks and safeties, but they weren't the dominant or the strongest part of the defense. So if this is the first time, how will this D look different from the classic Belichick defenses of the past? And if so, if it will look different, how will it look different?
I think mostly speed.
Well,
you know, faster.
You're right. The secondary wasn't the dominant aspect of the defense, but I think when you had Rodney Harrison and Ty Law and Asante Samuel, like, it was as good as the linebackers and the line.
Pretty good.
They were good at all three levels.
I would take that secondary over this one.
Right.
I just think that front seven was better.
In this one, you have the best player.
I agree with Dan. The best part of this defense is, on paper, probably the secondary.
And the best player.
Yeah,
Revis. No, you have the best player. Right. I don't know if you have the best secondary. I'm going to wait until I kind of see things come together with
Browner
and McCourty. You know, everybody's giving him the benefit of the doubt. He's got Revis now, so he'll be able to make plays. And, well, yeah, maybe he'll make plays. And if he doesn't, now you finally say, well, he's just not that good.
Right.
He's average. He's quality. He's an average starter, but he's not a playmaker. So I'm going to reserve judgment. But what we've talked about is the obvious. When you have an elite shutdown man coverage corner, generally, coaches use that as a way to take liberties with the pass rush and blitzing and different things with everybody else.
That's what I'm hoping for. More aggression up front.
And I think that same thing, if he's ever out there or when he's healthy, is easily would go in that direction. Pass rush, penetrator, athlete. Maybe I'm being totally negative here. I don't think this defense, in my mind, is anywhere near ready for me to say other teams are going to poop their jock straps. Why?
Not yet.
Like, I don't even see the makings of it necessarily. Oh. I still see holes in the pass rush. I still see a lack of depth at linebacker. I still see that they don't have a playmaking safety on the roster and may not have two starting caliber safeties on the roster. I don't know who the number two corner is going to be. They still may have a slot corner who I feel like I can.
On this team, you may not know who it's going to be yet, but there's a number two caliber corner potentially on this team.
Maybe.
You know?
On an elite defense? I don't know that.
Well,
I know. Every team has a number two corner.
Right.
Do they have an elite one?
Whether it's Browner or Dennard, I think either one of them can be your number two corner.
Yeah, but are they good?
How much better are you than last year? I think you had an exceptional number one corner last year. Now you have a great one.
I think Revis is...
He's better.
Much better.
Like, for example, I think... Opposite Revis, you should have the chance to make plays.
If you're
a good corner, you're going to get interceptions because they got to throw somewhere. I use that same logic with the safeties. There's going to be balls that avoid Revis and therefore gives you more opportunities to make plays.
Sure.
I am not sold that McCourty and Dennard and Browner and these guys are ready to do that. Even Browner, who I was sort of sold on, Sam Munson unsold me by telling me that he's never moved around. You know, in Seattle, Sherman stays on one side and Browner stays on the other. That's what they do.
And I'm hoping that Revis moves around.
Revis moves around, and now I'm not sure if Browner is comfortable moving around. So I have a lot of doubts about this defense that some fans seem to be portraying as potentially dominant.
I think the defense can be better, but I'm not willing to say it is better until I see it. Because I don't think personnel-wise, man for man, it's much improved over last year.
I think it'll be better.
I think it'll be better.
I just want to know how far better gets me towards dominant, like some of the fans want to say.
And I think that there'll be games that they're going to, you know, statistically they're going to knock our socks off when they play the teams that they knocked their socks off last year.
Here's where Paul goes.
But what I want
quarterbacks
to see,
aren't even in the league anymore.
Exactly. I want to see what they do against good offenses. I want to see
what happens when the conditions are right.
A curmudgeon.
What happens? That's what I want to see.
All right, Dan, thanks for the call. Let's go out to Oregon. Chester. Hey, Chester.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Great.
What's up?
Just want to go on record real quick. I'm totally in Andy's court on the secondary, namely. But, you know, lots of questions for me in the secondary other than Revis, you know, including Browner. You know, but what's got me with high hopes, obviously, are the what-ifs and the proven commodities returning. I mean, with, you know, Will Fork, Mayo, assuming that they're back in form. You know, I feel real good about the big picture. I mean, chemistry is going to come into play. I'm wondering where these guys are going to be slotted in. But, man, I'm with you, Andy. I think there's a lot of questions, and I'm definitely not mailing in this notion that our secondary is the strongest aspect of our defense. I mean, I'll take 03, 04 any day over that.
But, and then if you take the next step and you're not sold on the defense, well, why is the offense going to be better? You know, what have we gotten better at as a team? Because I think you can certainly have doubts about your offense.
Absolutely. And, you know, the fact that we have less rookies, we have more guys returning in the wide receiver core is promising to me. I mean, it looks like Gronk is tracking healthy for the time being.
He was exploding, bursting, and cutting.
Oh, we didn't get it. Yeah.
I'm also sorry to cut you, but, you know, I'm also wondering if Vereen's contract here is really going to, you know, ring true in some performance here. I'm certainly counting on that from him. And, you know, hopefully he can be that player that we're all expecting. I'm not sure if you have a little point on that, but I was going to shift gears to something else.
I love Vereen. I'm waiting for the year four jump because I do love him. I hope he stays healthy. Whether it's contract, health, luck, everything, you know, if he can put together the Edelman-type year where it just sort of all snaps into place. My one concern is we saw him working on wheel routes the other day, and he dropped them still.
Well, you know, hopefully a rotation there will help with this white kid because apparently they have a similar game. Take some pressure off, and he can really make plays in spots. But real quick, just also piggyback on David's call. You guys are far and away more balanced than by the rest of the Boston media. So, you know, serious kudos. I mean, being a guy across the country, I'm always searching for media, you know, in the Boston market. And you guys are so far away and balanced. And you have great opinions, but it never seems to be, you know, too far one direction or the other. And I think the fact that you work for the team – and, you know, you make some of the comments there. You really walk a line that I applaud. So just wanted to chime in on that. Great topic today with Brady. You know, I don't want to get too far off course with everything, but, you know, Eddie is absolutely right. To me, it's all about who's surrounding Brady when it comes to measuring greatness. You know, Carroll's composer reference totally rings true to me because you need an orchestra in order to, you know, make everything happen. And, you know, I've been having an ongoing discussion with some of my buddies, and to me, I've always stuck to the notion that you got to have a solid running game with physicality to offset the finesse of that passing offense. You know, I've got a big eye on, you know, that aspect, and I know it's not something that we're going to have as a focal point, but, you know, I feel like that's a huge component to balancing the pressure on Brady and allowing him to really keep that, you know, offensive mindset out there and getting his passes out. You know, if we want greatness from Brady for more than a couple of years, it's simple to me. I mean, we've got to load up on weapons. You know, I know we're all wondering, you know, with the draft where that, you know, plays in. I'm hoping for a camp casualty or two that may surprise us. But, you know, we've got to have a reliable running game, to me. And it's critical that our O-line improves as well. I mean, I feel like this is the biggest question mark going into camp. I don't know about you guys, but, you know, the offensive line play to me is going to be absolutely huge. And by the way, Damian Amendola, he's a biatch for hanging up on.
Oh, okay. Wow. All right.
Didn't see that.
Thanks,
coming.
Chester.
All right. Thank you. See, I told you Amendola was getting criticized for that.
As he should.
That qualifies as he's getting criticized.
Yeah, a lot of people.
And but don't you think he should?
I
think he should get eviscerated for it. Because I never heard anything so bitchy in my
life. I absolutely blame Amendola for hanging up on Jones. When you agreed to do an interview to plug your charity, the least you could do was answer the questions. He didn't even suggest moving on to another topic to Jones. And if he had let him finish that last question, he would have realized that he wasn't specifically asking about injuries. Just suck it up and be evasive like a Patriot.
No, you don't even see, I don't even think you have to be evasive. Say, you know, I understand why you have to ask those questions given my history,
right,
but I'm really just trying to move forward, look at 2014.
Right. Yeah.
You don't have to be
There's
an a-hole.
A way to handle it.
And but Adam wanted to ask about trying to avoid injuries.
Brandon Lloyd didn't know how to handle it. Danny Amendola didn't know how to handle it. And it makes them look bad. And they should, because they do something bad. Be a man.
Chris with a T-I-A-N.
Speaking of Fred.
Hey, Christian.
Fred, welcome back. How was the Jedi Academy?
It was very good. I learned a new move.
Awesome. You got to show me.
Yep. Oh, he'll show you later.
I learned how to make Paul agree with me.
You know what he's going to show you.
I don't know what that means.
Paul, this is why I love you. Great rant.
Well, that was for Dave. Dave in Maine asked for something. We got to deliver when it's asked for.
But you're having a phenomenal June because you delivered the line of the week in last week's show when Eric kept saying Budapest. And Andy said, is that how you say it? Is that how you really say it? And Paul turns around and goes, yeah. In a typical Eric fashion, he's going to keep saying it that way until you ask him, is that how you really say it? And he'll delve into his knowledge of how you say it. That's why we listen to this show.
Do you have any doubt that that's why he kept saying the word?
Absolutely not. That's what made me laugh.
Like, you couldn't just say, I'm going to Europe. He had to keep saying Budapest, right? Because he was waiting for someone to ask him why he says it like that.
Now, what is the great story of how he could die or stay in Budapest? I know lions in Africa, I was going with great story if a lion ate him. What could happen in Budapest?
He becomes a hostage, and we see him on CNN.
Oh.
That would be a great, great story.
You know how quickly they would get rid of him?
They'd probably lose five more terrorists to get him back.
No, they would give him away. They'd spend like a week with him and be like, this pompous a-hole is out of here.
Maybe someone will like put you know, drugs in his bag without him knowing it, and he gets caught
in a Budapestian prison.
And he gets put in one of those Midnight Express prisons.
That would be awesome. Yeah. That'd be a good story.
That would be great. That would be great. It would be.
And it really wouldn't be great, but
be a great story.
Great story.
Wouldn't be great for him and his family.
I'd feel bad for Eric.
Would you?
I don't think he'd do well in one of those prisons.
Oh, I think he'd do great, and he'd love every minute of it.
See now,
you see, I know how he's really lighting it up on him.
Yeah,
that's not nice. He's not here.
It's not nice.
I heard they were ripping me when I wasn't here.
I think that's, I don't know.
We were, that's accurate.
See, that's what you do.
You know
when
how Fred invents,
here,
like, the ground
never
swell or something?
True.
We were ripping you when you weren't here. That is absolutely accurate.
Yes, it is. I just wanted to just piggyback on the Brady discussion you started the show off with. There's something there. This whole house thing and the Brentwood, I mean, that was built to sort of like the West Coast home, and that's just going to settle down. And then all of a sudden, just sell that, and you know, a year now, it's probably almost a year now that he started building the Brookline home. That, it's too much of a, there's something there. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's, you know, potential people have assumed maybe ownership going forward after he retires, a role with the team, general manager perhaps, but there's something there. I don't know what it is, but
I'm with you, Christian. That's changed my belief. I really thought he would, because of the contract, would be a viable trade option, something. But I'm with Christian. I don't know how to put my finger on it, but it feels like there's something there that they're entwined now.
Yeah. I don't need a husband.
You guys are in the majority.
Especially the
majority.
Fact that he's from L.A. She probably has more roots in L.A. than out here.
But even the way he talked about it.
I personally think it's business. That's it.
See,
that's
but
it.
All the other ones were business, and yes, he flips. That's what he does. New York, Boston, you know, whatever. But this one was, you know, we had X number of bedrooms, so when her family comes, they can all stay with us, and they don't have to use a hotel. And
they barely broke it in.
They were very specific about, like, how they designed it for their families and long-term. And maybe they were just hypocrites. Maybe they were just selling us a load of BS.
Maybe when they got in it, they just didn't like it.
Whose fault is that? You designed it.
Yeah,
they made mistakes. You're perfect.
I am.
You think if you design your own house,
I've always said
you wouldn't screw
designing
something up?
A home is a thing you need to do twice. You learn the first time, and you do it right the second. You know, but it's not his first time.
No, Mr. Rich Boy.
He did. He's the only one among us that's designed his own house.
Right? And I would do it differently. You learn. I would definitely do it differently.
Right. Next time you'd have 50 acres instead of 25.
No, it would be further back on the property.
I had to take the shack that was there when I bought it. I didn't.
Right. The two rooms, I would have definitely done a header and done one large room instead of the two rooms with the big doorway. Well, you know, you learn things.
You really got money, huh, Randy?
No, I don't. I wish I did.
You got a lot of land, though. You're a land baron.
Yeah, he's a land baron.
Peter did plant potatoes this weekend.
He has indentured servants on his property.
I came home, the whole property was harrowed, and then the potatoes were in.
Harrowed.
Peter planted potatoes?
Yes.
Did he pick a peck of pickled peppers?
I was letting that one go. I knew where that was going.
Another caller, Fred, drove away.
All right. Eater in Phoenix.
Whoa.
Eater.
Whoa.
What? I barely know
her. Is this a box lunch?
What's going on, Eater?
What's going on, guys?
Hey,
Eaterville Railroad.
Smells like fish and tastes like chicken.
Plug that nose and keep on licking.
Unbelievable.
Was what he said on
the
air.
I apologize for that, Edda. Go ahead.
Yes, I wanted to get back on the defensive theme that we have going here recently. I wanted to get your thoughts on, I know that we've been talking a lot about our defensive backs and the defense in general, but what do you guys think Matt Patricia kind of ranks with all the defensive coordinators in the league? I know that we've been talking a lot about the players we got in free agency, but we haven't really touched on Matt Patricia, how he's been doing recently with, you know, with what he has. I know he hasn't had a lot to work with, but
it's hard. I know this is going to sound a cop out, but when you have Bill Belichick as your head coach, it's hard to evaluate your coordinators.
The fact is not a cop out. He would be incomplete or not applicable. He doesn't have the ability to just make decisions, change things. He works
maybe
under.
Maybe he does. We don't know.
He doesn't.
Maybe he does.
Come on.
No, really.
He doesn't.
I don't know
Come on.
I don't know that as a fact.
I do.
He's not given that authority.
There's no way.
Well, look.
No one has told me specifically, but if I held a gun to your head, Martin Gramatica style, what would you say?
I guess that, you know, some of the times.
No, gun to your head. Does Matt Patricia get to do what he wants on defense, yes or no? Answer the question or I'm pulling the trigger.
Of the time, no.
Thank you.
Yeah.
He doesn't. Yeah. So I can't grade him on I mean, he's like a secondary character there. It's under Bill Belichick. He gets the credit. He gets the blame. He gets the everything.
Right.
I'm sorry. Matt, I love you. And I am giving him credit for trying. And this is, again, no one's told me, but I think he's tried to be a little more modern, tried to be a little more aggressive, tried to be a little more blitzing and twisting. And
but how do you know that it's not Belichick trying to do those things?
Because I like Matt.
No, but I think you could be right.
Because I think he's
know.
A good young coach. And
I just don't
I don't
know.
Like how he gets pigeonholed as like this, you know, this laughing stock, bearded guy. Somebody finished an.
Who says he's a laughing stock?
A lot of fans ask PFW want to really? Fire him left and right. They called him Matt Patricia, Belichick's only uncoveted coordinator ever.
Really?
Like they think all these other guys.
Who wrote that?
Ask PFW guy.
Oh.
It's not people are saying.
Right. Not a Boston media
but,
member.
I mean,
I just wanted
and
to
I get
sure.
a little defensive.
That sounded awfully negative for a Boston media
I like
media
Matt.
Guy.
I think he's a smart guy. I think he's probably a pretty good coach.
Very bright.
And
guy.
I think he works under somewhat difficult circumstances.
Right.
He does. He's expected to cook the dinner, but he can't decide the menu.
Well, I don't even know if he's, you know, from the outside, if he's expected to.
Maybe he's
the
expected
dinner.
To serve the dinner
or something. I don't even know.
You're right. Maybe Bill makes the dinner, but you got to serve it. Get
right.
it from the kitchen, and presentation is key.
I think what the difficult part is just knowing that I could do great things here, and no one would know it.
Right.
Yeah.
But the good part of that is if I do bad things, most people won't really harp on me.
That's true.
Some will.
But that's not how, as a competitor, you
nope,
look at it.
Nope.
Right?
And we don't, maybe he thinks everything Bill does is right. He was sort of raised in this defense under Bill. And I mean, most of his views are probably similar.
Right.
But every human being has, you know, he's other places. He sees other teams. He's watching. Right. You know, he might want these twists that he's not allowed to put in.
Could
maybe
be.
He is. You're right. Maybe he is. But I don't think he is.
Okay. All right, Edder, thanks for the call. Let's
I ask one quick question? This popped up into my head. We were talking about the defense dominance.
Hold on, Kyle.
Who's the second most important player on the Patriots' defense this year? I'm assuming we all assume Revis is number
I'd
one.
I'd say Chandler Jones.
Okay. Paul?
Or Jerod Mayo.
Okay, I don't agree with the Mayo one. No. Second most important player on the Patriots' defense in 2014 is?
Chandler Jones.
Okay.
What do you think?
Well, part of me is, I'm not sure I'm willing to go, it's definitely second most, but I would put two guys, and I would say Daron Harmon and Jamie Collins, two second-year players who I think are being given
really?
Full-time backup-less
second
roles.
Second most important players on the defense.
Two-elevenths of your defense is being given to guys that don't have backups. Or, I mean, I guess James Anderson, you now kind of have a backup, but I think there's a lot of weight on those young shoulders.
Okay. Kyle, from Ohio.
But I mean, there's other options. You have, you know, Dominic Easley, if you think he is part of the whole more athletic and we're going to penetrate and we're going to be aggressive.
I don't know what to expect.
Dominant.
I'm talking about from the known factors.
Who was your pick?
Daron Harmon.
No. I wanted to sandwich together Harmon and Collins, a second-year guy.
Out of the box.
Collins I like.
See, I think Collins, Harmon, you like cool. known commodity? You think he's a known commodity?
No.
Because I don't.
I don't either.
Okay. Then what are we arguing about?
What do you got, Kyle?
Hold on one second. Give me one.
Did you just tell us to hold on? Get rid of this clown.
No. What
no
you got?
Hold on for you. You hold on for us.
Yeah, I
okay, well,
I,
that Collins, was too long.
Collins I can see. Collins, I see. Harmon, I mean, I understand why you said that.
Well, I actually don't feel strong enough about either of them to do them alone, so I had to sandwich them together to add credibility to my argument.
I'm not as, I don't know. I think that some of the things that Bill Belichick does, it is funny the way we pick and choose some of the things that we align ourselves with Bill as opposed to we argue. But this whole notion of it's a secondary. We can move some pieces around. Like I don't think they'll have a traditional Rodney Harrison type safety. It might not be Daron Harmon. They might have to have just five defensive backs in the field and someone's going to be a safety. It might not be Daron, you know, it might be Logan Ryan as an extra defensive back. It might be Kyle Arrington. It might be Alfonso Dennard. I don't know. I think they have enough good defensive backs.
Okay, I can rephrase it and say fourth defensive back.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with McCourty, Revis, Browner, Dennard, Ryan, Arrington as being my six defensive backs.
I worry about Arrington, Brian, Harmon.
I think that's pretty good depth.
And I'm not sold on Browner.
Fred, some might call that deep depth.
Deep depth.
Deep depth. Yep. No, I don't. I'm not sitting here telling you this is going to be, you know, the greatest secondary, you know, like the old Oakland Raiders with Mike Haynes and Lester Hayes. But I think it could be a pretty good secondary. I think they have better depth beyond the frontline guys than they've had probably in like 5 years.
That is true.
But you're still worried about it.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I can't sit there and tell you you're wrong. I don't know what Brandon Browner is going to be.
I don't either.
I don't know how reliable Logan Ryan's going to be.
I don't either.
I'm pretty sure I know about Arrington because we have a big enough sample size that he's going to be inconsistent.
Hot and cold.
I don't know how hot and cold. I don't know how good they're going to be, but I'm not worried about them.
Okay. Well, how do those two things be true?
How
do you not know how good someone is and not have a worry?
Because I know they're not going to be bad.
How do you know that if
I
you don't
know
how good
they're
going to
be? Because I know there's a certain level of quality play that we've already seen from – a certain level of play that we've already seen from guys like McCourty and certainly Darrell Revis, we know.
I'm talking about the other guys.
You know, I think –
you've seen a level of play from Dennard that you're comfortable with?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I have.
I haven't.
Especially when you pair him up with Revis. I think
you've never seen that, so you can't possibly feel
I don't know the heights they're going to go, but I know they're going to be fine.
So the floor is high enough for you?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
You don't know where the ceiling is.
I'm more worried about the offense than I am the defense.
Oh, me too. You know, I think your offense has the possibility, if Gronk doesn't play, of not being very good.
Yeah, but why would – I mean
– get stuck in the mud. Absolutely.
Do you really think that Gronk's not going to play?
No.
So why are we worried about that?
But there's always the chance, even if he plays, that he stops playing.
Look, he's been bursting, cutting, and exploding.
All right, let's get to that. You've injected that a couple different times. Go ahead, Fred.
Well, last time I did, you said we're going to get to that. So that's why I did it.
Well, Ben Volen. In typical PFW in progress fashion, we do it at 5-0.
And you didn't even include Ben Volen in your media rip job.
Well, what did he do wrong?
He reported that. Bursting and cutting and exploding.
He says he saw it.
He can say he saw it. So 35 other media members that were out there didn't see it. We're all just have our blinders on. He, who once wrote that Gronk broke his right arm, not his left arm, he is the guy I'm supposed to believe saw everything Mr. Anal Mike Reese missed it. Mike Reese hasn't missed anything in 10 years.
I've seen the beginning of those practices when it's like a cocktail party with you people out there all talking about this.
But Volen is the guy that stands out.
Not
Mike Reese, who won't sit with
the
media.
Practice.
Ben Volen is the one who stands out. He's the one that's watching when Mike Reese, you know how he is, grab ass city with Mike Reese. Right. He's always missing stuff.
He's off under some tree by himself.
They're always missing everything because they're always playing grab ass.
So are you doubting this report?
Yes, it's false.
All right.
Unless he has a source telling him, somebody, that Gronkowski was doing it in the bubble, which I firmly believe is a possibility. I think Gronk is pretty healthy right now. I think there's a good chance that when he's with Joe Van Allen in the bubble, he is bursting and cutting and running routes. We just haven't seen it on the OTA field in the rain that we report about 5 days later because we assumed the 35 other people missed it.
Not nearly as mad about it as Andy, but that's okay because he's not nearly as mad about
the
other stuff as I was.
Well, you can just write crap and get away with it.
Yeah, I don't really see the
noteworthy. Except Jeff Howe called him on it. We'll give Jeff Howe credit. He called him on Twitter.
And good for Jeff Howe for that because sometimes I think there needs to be a system of checks and balances.
Well, they're supposed to be. It's Boston Sports Media.
But.
Who writes for our paper.
I don't really see the noteworthy nature of a rehabbing guy running. I mean, if he's in drills and he's getting hit or doing something. And you're like, wow, what a great sign. You know, Rob Gronkowski, you know, X amount of months, whatever it is now. What are we in June? So what, 7 months after surgery is in drills and hitting or taking contact on the knee. That's noteworthy. Running with rehab guys, if he's not,
well,
then
but it's two different things.
It was truly cutting.
If he's running
bursting,
10 yards and planting that knee and cutting to the outside,
I don't find it all.
Trouble is, we haven't seen it.
Right. But if it's true, I want to know.
I actually think it's true.
I think it's worthy of reporting if it's true.
Right.
I think it's true, to be honest with you, because I think that's typical of a guy coming off an ACL.
So you agree with Volen then?
I didn't see it, but I believe it's true.
Well, it should be
because I believe a guy working out on the side with trainers is doing those things.
Right.
Unless he's not ready to do those.
And he wouldn't be out there.
No.
That's my whole point.
Oh, come on.
Just like Gerard Mayo coming off a torn pec is out there. I don't find that all that fascinating. He told us in March he was working out. Rob Ninkovich told Andy that he's been working out hard with Gerard Mayo for a while.
Those things
it's not
are
that,
good signs.
It's not that interesting.
There's different,
they would be good signs if we saw them.
Right. There's different phases of returning to the field. And cutting, bursting, and exploding for a guy coming off an ACL is a sign that he's progressing. And sure. I think it's worthy of reporting if you see it.
I didn't say it wasn't worthy of reporting.
Saying,
I just don't find it all that noteworthy.
I think it is.
How come he didn't report it on the day it happened and waited 5 days?
That I don't know.
Because you think it's news, right?
I was in
the,
L.A.
The epitome of news is you should report it the day.
Absolutely.
If it's such a big story that Gronk has cleared this hurdle of cutting and bursting and exploding.
I think it's tweetable at the time, at the moment.
No, because he knew the 35 other people missed it, and he was the only one who saw it. Mike Reese, who misses everything, could never have seen it, so I'm going to wait 5 days to write my Sunday column on it.
Yeah, I don't know what he
reported. How does that make any logical sense?
I was busy in L.A., so I don't know what he reported.
Well,
on
that's
that,
a side topic.
On that
in this day.
Day
of iPhones, I don't know how you couldn't keep track right. of what was going on yeah. in New England on your phone.
So has anyone asked Ben Volen about this?
I haven't spoken with Ben Volen, and I don't generally speak with Ben Volen.
It doesn't have to be you. I said anyone.
Jeff Howe kind of went back and forth on Twitter.
What did Ben Volen say in response?
Yeah, it's not my
fault. It's not my fault that no one else saw it.
Well,
it is if it didn't happen.
He's sticking by it.
Again, I just don't see the noteworthy nature of a guy coming off a torn ACL running. I just don't.
Yeah, but it's not just running.
I know, Paul. I mean,
it's cutting.
He said he was just cutting.
And exploding.
Wes Walker was cutting.
Exploding. Right. Bursting.
But that's a hurdle.
Right.
To be cutting full speed is a hurdle.
It's great. 7 months later.
Oh, what a curmudgeon.
He really is.
Really. All right. Well, that's.
He makes Mike Felger look like this.
For me,
you know,
I would be far more concerned if he weren't doing those things at this stage.
Fred, Jimmy,
far more concerned.
Jimmy, the gentleman who bought us lunch today, wrote in an email that we should.
Oh, Jimmy brought a lunch?
Yeah.
And read it.
I just shut down my computer. Sorry, Jimmy.
Kevin, can you read it?
Say, or Kevin,
no, Kevin will read it.
I got to get going.
Where
really
do you have
busy.
To go?
Because instead we're taking 20-minute phone calls.
That's
can you read it, please, Kevin?
I have it.
Sorry about that.
And
Jimmy.
Eldridge, we are sorry. You didn't call back.
Fred hung up.
He
on
has
it.
Fat fingers, and the mouse is small, and it was an accident.
Jimmy from Sweden.
Jimmy likes Elaine.
He wrote.
Is this Sven?
No. He wrote, "Hi, guys.
No, it's Jimmy.
Hope you enjoyed the lunch. I'll listen to the podcast later and find out. Would have called in, but I'm currently occupied tucking in my son. Yes, Andy, I can multitask. I just realized that Gillette Stadium is huge, and I forgot to ask you about which seating section should I aim for my tickets. I'd like to see something without binoculars. Help me out and have a great day."
200 level.
Well, club seats if you can get them.
Yeah, but 200 level is not 300, so you know they're not up there, but they're not as expensive as 100 level. And I think for football, it's one of the best seats in the house.
Well, I would say top of 100 level, club level, or 200 level.
Yeah.
Or the three
areas.
The reason
I don't like top of 100 level, there's too much going on behind me, distractions.
Yeah, but it gives you easy access to concessions and pee.
It does.
And I know you have your app to tell you the wait in the pee line,
yeah.
But...
Because the drawback of the 200 level is that you're on the corner.
You're on a corner.
Yeah, but...
So 100 level, you can get midfield up by the...
That's true. Yes.
Plus, you get a little breeze through there.
Yeah.
But yeah, club seats.
But price wise,
there's a reason club seats are so expensive because they're the best seats in the house.
Yeah, they're on the 50.
They're also cushioned.
Right.
If you have a hemorrhoidal issue.
All right. Well, thanks for the lunch, Jimmy.
Yes,
thank you,
Jimmy.
That was really nice of you.
And thank you for Grande, because your buffalo chicken wrap has become my go-to item. It is phenomenal.
Andy's all happy.
All right. I got to go. Thanks for listening. We'll see you on Thursday.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.